kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I exist.
You exist.
Yeah, I exist. I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. We made it this far.
I feel that.
You know? I think I'm kind of like everybody else at this point in 2020, and we're just like, can we be done now?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. As you could tell, Tim Ekibis is here. Tim, how are you doing?
Oh, you know. Sign me up for the same as Cole.
Also joining us, Aki, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
The fuck was that? Donald Duck, are you here? Oh, geez. And there's a lot of people here because it's a special occasion. We have a guest joining us this week from Mastiff. Welcome back to the show, David Bruno. How are you doing?
I am on the coal train.
Choo-choo, bitches.
I'm breathing. It's in, you know, we're in California, so.
That's all your effort right there. Like, that's all you have.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it has just been the craziest year. And it's like, am I going to wake up or what's happening? So, nothing should surprise me anymore. But
yeah, I'm terrified what's going to happen when it's like winter here in Buffalo, given like how bad everything's been everywhere else. Like, it's like, well, we haven't gotten some of the bad stuff that's happened. Well, you know what? I guess New York got the worst of COVID. Well, to date, maybe. So far, so good.
Maybe
that was the worst thing that will befall us for this year.
It's just insane.
Yeah.
I'm worried about what winter's going to bring. It's supposed to get down into the 40s this weekend the lows. And like, that's not particularly cold. Like, that's not, oh, we're going to turn the heat on level of cold yet.
You're not going to turn the heat on at 40?
No.
Wow.
Pretty close.
No.
Okay, I turn my heat on when it's at 40. I don't let it go below like 50, because I'm worried the pipes will fucking freeze and burst.
Yeah, when you could see your breath, it's time to turn the heat on.
When you could see your breath, it's time to turn the heat on. But I mean, we're mountain people, so you know, 40 isn't cold.
I'm not worried about your pipes, Jesus.
It has to get below 32 for water to freeze, woman.
Oh yeah, that's right.
She's got a point there. 40.
I love that slow reel.
The delay.
Yeah.
Does this show how old we all are talking about concern over pipes and wow. Aren't we just talking about this earlier, Joe? Age has already reared its head into this show.
Oh man, yeah. Yeah, we're
Yeah, I'm about done being an adult at this point, so it's okay. I'm barely holding any of my childishness in right now. It's just, it's not working.
No, we were talking about the fact that we're both going to be 40 next year, and Cole's mentioning that lucky number 40, so throwing it back.
I am creeping up on 40, and I don't want to talk about it. I got a couple years still to go before I have to accept my downfall.
You should have accepted your downfall a long time ago.
I accepted my downfall when I fell in my living room.
You know what I accept? I accept the fact that this show is off the rails because we are here to talk about Fight Crab.
Oh yeah!
Oh, I thought it was
shy. We can do that, I guess.
Yeah.
God damn!
I'm gonna play some more of that while we talk. Actually,
David, you are here to talk about Fight Crab with us. Just released on the Switch through Mastiff. For the people who don't know what this game is, give us the sales pitch.
The sales pitch? Huh? You want the sales pitch? Yeah. I'll give you off the cuff sales pitch. The no PR suit sales pitch. It is as crazy as it sounds. I mean, if you've ever wanted to play as a crab wielding a shotgun, a katana, or whatever, you know, a chainsaw, this is your opportunity. It is a fighting game where you're playing as a crab with weapons, trying to flip over the other crab. So very similar to classic wrestling, where if you flip over your opponent on their back for 3 seconds and hold them down for 3 seconds, then you win the match.
Right on their hard, damn back.
Cold, hard, damn back. Right.
Hard, damn it. Somebody's just been like your mother.
But yeah, it's got a slew of weapons. What is it? 23 playable crabs, like 48 weapons, 11 battle arenas, online and offline matchmaking. It's certainly an interesting game, to say the least. One of the most zany games I have worked on. In fact, I saw somebody tweet the other day saying that Fight Crab was the deadly premonition of fighting games.
Oh my God.
I'm like, wow, I've actually had the opportunity to work on both of those, so I'll take that as a compliment.
Really? You worked on Deadly Premonition?
Yeah, I worked with Rising Star on the director's cut.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah. So I was like, wow, okay, I'm getting to be a connoisseur of quirky, weird games.
That's a hell of a reputation to start building. What else? What could you work on that is crazier than Fight Crab?
Yeah, I don't know. it has been certainly an interesting, fun experience, though, that's for sure. I'm really hoping that it kind of takes off in terms of once people start playing online and seeing that you can actually make different builds, because the game is physics based. And all the weapons will react differently. Every crab has its own unique stats, and some of the weapons, they all have their own different unique speed and reach and, you know, stamina. So you can upgrade all those too. So, I mean, you can build a crab, a tanky crab. You can build a speed crab, a ranged weapon crab using dual pistols. I mean, like the sky is really the limit in terms of making a crab that you want to make. So. Right now, I am just wrapping up working on a tank build, I think using the king crab or carrier crab. It's tough as hell to flip over, and I am using Excalibur. So some of the weapons in the game have their own unique, it sounds crazy, have their own unique skills. But when Excalibur, its special ability, it's like you charge it up, and it just unleashes this humongous like laser blast, like an energy wave. And it just sends crabs flying. So Jesus not only Christ. Am I impossible to flip, but well, near impossible to flip, but I got a great, you know, powerful melee weapon / pseudo ranged weapon.
So you're OP.
When I'm done with that build, then it goes on to, I'm working with the Calapa crab, with a dual wielding pistols. So going for speed build on that one, just to troll
tootin'
people.
Shooting crab.
Yep. Rootin' tootin' shooting crab. Exactly right. But little do people know so far, though, that you can actually fly. So not only do these crabs, you know, walk, crawl, climb up walls, there's a unique ability. So after you take so much damage in the game, your crab will start glowing. And that notifies you that hyper mode is active. And during hyper mode, you cannot be knocked over. So you have like 15 seconds when you're pretty much invincible. And during that time also, though, you can, I think it's on Switch, it's the X button. So you can hold down the X button and your crab will actually fly. So it's great if you want to like troll your opponents and like get out of there, or if you want to like fly up and drop down behind them to get the jump on them. It's quite the crazy game.
That's awesome. I didn't know that yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of like little hidden things in the game. You're just like, what? Like, I thought I was doing it on accident first when I was first playing it before the game was released. And I was just like, why the hell am I floating? It's like, oh, this is a feature. Okay, cool.
Not a bug.
Yeah, I was like, well, that's a relief. It's a feature. Good.
Maybe it was a bug and just turned it into a feature.
Just simultaneously glows. It's a coincidence, as we say.
Yes.
the things I've seen people do in the game are hilarious. Like just combing through Twitter, looking at the hashtag Fight Crab, like a lot of the Japanese players have been super creative with their builds, and like they'll post a little recordings or clips from their Switch of online matches, and I'm just like, dang, I didn't think about doing that, or like, wow, that was like a really like unique move, or it's like giving me ideas to play when I go online.
Like what kind of moves do they do that just stuns you?
It shocks me. Well, actually seeing people use weapons effectively kind of makes me relieved and happy, but the manner in which they're using weapon combinations is nuts. Like there's a scythe that has a chain attached to it, and you can actually use that to wrap around your opponent's claws or weapons, mm-hmm. so they can't really move. And then once they do that with one weapon, because you can dual wield weapons, then they'll just bash the hell out of them with the other weapon. And I've seen some of them just like wrap them, tie them up with the chain, and then just like knock them out of the arena with the other claw. It's just a hilarious sight to behold.
Oh my god, I gotta browse Twitter under Fight Crab now.
Yeah, that's great. It makes me think of how, like, it reminds me of, like, kind of the unforeseen depth of, like, Dark Souls, which I've obviously had on my mind this week, the Demon Souls trailer, but it's just like, you know, the combat was built mostly for PvE, and that's not the case with Fight Crab, obviously, but just, like, once you get it in people's hands, they get so creative and weird with, like, all the stuff you can do, and it's just awesome, and it's a fun thing to see in, like, you know, this kind of physics-y fighting game with all the different crabs and stat boosts and all the different weapons. Because, like, me, when I got in there, like, as soon as I looked at the weapon list, I was just like, not even looking at stats, I'm just like, oh, I want a crab that can use Tonfas, because I think that is hilarious. So that was the first, I was just like, no, dual-wielding Tonfas. And then later I was like, oh, there's different stats and stuff. Oh, I guess I should give a care about mm-hmm. that. But, like, I just think this is funny. And I want to make this work and figure out how this works for me.
Yeah, you know, and the beauty part about that is, like, you find a weapon that's suitable for your playstyle, but then you find a crab that can really amplify that weapon. And then you build on that crab, and then you can use whatever, you know, weapon you want. And later on, whatever weapons you have available to you now, as you go through the campaign, you'll unlock different crabs and you'll unlock weapons. Like, none of this stuff is DLC. It's all in the game.
Yeah. I was commenting to Joe that I would like, I want to see this at like big fighting game tournaments. I want to see Evo. Fight Crab on the Evo stage.
I doubt that would ever happen. I would lose my shit if that happened. I would love that. But that's the beauty part about it, though, is, you know, I've seen people jump in and just kind of have a button mash fest with it.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's as deep as you want it to be. That's what I love about it. I mean, if you want to explore the physics-based side of it and really get into it, you can. And that's what I've been seeing with, like, the online matchmaking stuff, is people are getting, like, really creative and really into it. But at the same time, if you just wanted to jump into a match or play, you know, solo or with a friend offline, you can just, you know, button mash and still have a good time.
Or if you're on the Switch, you could friggin' throw your arms all around the room.
And actually, surprisingly, you know, with a controller, I play really well. And with the Joy-Cons, because, yeah, it does have motion control, the Joy-Cons, I actually play better with the Joy-Cons than using the accelerometers and motion control.
That's fantastic. How did motion controls come to this game?
The creator, Onuki-san, he was really into and used to take karate lessons as a kid. So his whole concept, he wanted to make a game that kind of used, you know, your arms as the weapons, or as, you know, defensive, objects. So using, you know, a crab's arms and limbs was perfect. I mean, you can open and close them. So you can use, I think, the L and R buttons on the Switch to block.
Yep.
So when you close your claws, you're able to block. And when you're able to open your claws, you can grab your opponents. You can throw them. You can grab their and steal their weapons. You can grab like cars in some stages or tanks and rip them apart and use the tanks as weapons. So his karate lessons had a lot to do with that. And he's a big nautical fan or fan of nautical things, I guess, since he is also the creator of the Ace of Seafood game.
I'm not familiar with that one myself.
Yeah, look that one up. That one's a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Tim, you'll have to tell me about it later on.
Yeah, these weird underwater like video games that Maneater and shit. It's great though.
I have not played Maneater yet.
It's so great. It's so stupid.
Awesome.
Oh, it's a blast. Yeah, I'm glad that this surge of nautical based craziness, ridiculous games. Back.
I love ridiculous games. And Fight Crab is ridiculous.
Onuki-san probably must have been a Dragon Ball fan at some point, or maybe he still is. Because some of the special moves, if you've seen in the game, there's the Kanihameha and the Kaneokin. And there's also a giant, which is called the crab ball, which is you basically generate a massive ball of energy by raising both your claws over your head or your shell and just unleash this gigantic energy ball. There's lots of different special skills in the game too, not just, you know, weapons.
Oh my god. What kind of other hidden stuff is there?
There is a hidden stage in the game as well. As well, I guess that unlocks hidden weapons also. So crabs and weapons, and there is one hidden stage. I think it unlocks. Actually, I won't tell you how it unlocks unless you want
to. Yeah. Game just came out. Well, just came out on Switch, right? It's been out on other stuff for a little bit, right?
Yeah, the Steam version was released the end of July, July 30th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, play as and put that one out. And the two, I mean, the two games are identical for the most part. I think on Steam, you can use VRoid or VRHub or VRoid, something. They're like little avatars that sit on top of your crab.
Oh my god.
I have no idea what it's about or how to do it. Probably some, I don't even know. But they're little avatars that sit on your crab, and then our version differs by using motion controls.
You know, that's
pretty much it. Content-wise, the two games are near identical. Yeah, but and there is cross-platform online play, too.
Really?
There is. So you can play with PC players online, and Nintendo Switch and PC players can play online cross-platform.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that it has the motion controls in there. I think that makes it, like, a lot of fun as a party game, just to hand people Joy-Cons to swat at each other as crabs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like motion controls were obviously like kind of the hot business like 10 years ago, and then everyone got sick of them and kind of makes fun of them, really, I guess, is this thing that's kind of faded out a little bit. Or I guess more now it's just VR that does it. Like, that's where that kind of stuff exists.
No.
But it's still fun in some games. Kind of the problem was at the time, it was just like in everything, and it was like, oh god, not every game needs motion controls just because the Wii is popular, guys. Like, calm down. But yeah, I think in a game like this, like, it really works and makes the game, you know, a lot more fun when you could just hand it to people and not explain, like, oh, you do all this stuff with your claws, you gotta, like, move around with the sticks. Like, no, just move your hands around, hit the buttons on the shoulders, and have a blast. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes sense, and it makes the game more fun, in my opinion.
It's very pick-up-and-play friendly, despite how complex the game can be when you sit down and really look at how deep the combat is. It's very easy to just pick up and swing and have fun.
Yeah, well, people might be intimidated by, you know, playing, you bust out a fighting game, and it's like, oh, geez, you know, if you have any passing familiarity with fighting games, you probably know there's someone in the room who has more than a passing familiarity that's going to make your life miserable. But you just see crabs smacking each other with weapons, and you're like, okay, I have to just try this.
I can't even talk about the game without laughing. It is such an absurd premise.
Yeah, I'm playing it right now.
Aki, what do you think of it? What are your thoughts?
I didn't realize this was a game that I wanted to exist. <It's> Like, you
isn't
told
that kind
me
of the best part, though, where you're like, I didn't know this could exist, but now that it does, how the fuck did I live without it?
Yeah, like, you told me about this, and I was like, okay, it's going to be just one of these little weird fucking games, like, whatever. And then I started playing, I'm like, this is fantastic. This is, like, dumb, but great at the same time. This is so amazing. Like, I didn't realize I wanted this so much in my life until now.
It's exactly right. Like, the second I saw the trailer, I think it was the first gameplay trailer that Kalappa put out, and I think it was like almost a year ago when it turned out. I saw it, and I was just like, instantly went to Bill, our president and CEO of Mastiff, and I was like, we need this. And just, I was all
and
over
that's what
it
I did to Joe. I was like, I want to review this. Like, pretty much the same thing. Like, me, this game.
Yeah.
You know, and when we finally got code and we all got to play it for the first time, I was like, yes, this is exactly what I was hoping for.
How did the process go of you guys signing this game to Mastiff? What was the process there?
God, it was such a whirlwind because, I mean, I briefly mentioned earlier to you that we were working on our kind of our sister company the last year, Physicality. And so I pretty much went radio silent for the last year while we were working on that site, developing that site, getting titles for the site. And oh my gosh, that was just a long year. So everything beyond physicality is such a blur. So I just remember us talking about Fight Crab, and then I feel like maybe a month or two later, we had it signed.
Wow.
It's such a whirlwind. But yeah, we went to last year, I think it was, might have been last year. Again, it's just a whirlwind. I think it was Bit Summit. I know we were at Bit Summit. We were kind of scouting around there, talking with partners and friends, because we do have an office in Japan. And so we were kind of scouting around for things at Bit Summit. And I think that's probably where it stemmed from. But yeah, I honestly wish I remembered more, but it's been such a crazy year. I don't really remember the whole start to finish.
Well, you mentioned this crazy year with Physicality Games. What's the story there? What is Physicality Games? What took up a whole year of your life here?
There's a good segue then, huh?
I kind of work at these sometimes.
He can pull those off occasionally.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I guess it happened in probably sometime Q3 2018, maybe. Where we realized that, you know, traditional game publishing was getting a little more difficult. It can kind of be like, I'll quote Bill on this. It's kind of like a yo-yo on an escalator where it's, you know, you're going up, but it's, you know, you're up, bouncing up and down as you're going up. So we wanted to try something a little bit different. We didn't really care much for the whole fear of missing out model from a lot of the other physical, digital to physical publishers out there. And so we're like, you know, I bet we could probably do something similar to this without the whole fear of missing out thing. And that's kind of really where Physicality spawned. That's kind of how it came to be. So we started shopping around, talking to different publishers, seeing what we can line up. And then we just immediately went to work on, developing a website. We didn't want something that was, if you go to physicalitygames.com, we didn't want something that looked like it just took 20 minutes in Shopify.
Yeah.
We wanted to have something that had some substance, was able to have a little bit of longevity in terms of community, and down the line that we'll be able to gamify. So, you know, you'll be able to earn points, or if you log in, you'll have different avatars or customize your profile. And a lot of that kind of came from, if you're familiar with Bandcamp.
Yes.
Kind of came from some of that idea or design kind of came from Bandcamp. I'm a big user of Bandcamp and have tons of albums on my account. And I just love when I see that, you know, somebody bought something that's in my wish list or that I have in my collection. And you get like a little email and it's all right, cool. Or somebody you follow buys something. It's like, oh, you know, you'll look through that email and say, oh, yeah, this is actually really cool. I didn't know this was out. And so I like that kind of marketing. So that kind of, we borrowed that idea and then kind of integrated that into Physicality. So if you visit any of the products on the site, you'll see who pre-ordered the game. And you can visit their profile, follow them. You can't directly interact with them on the site, but you can follow them on the site, and they can, you can list, it's kind of like a link tree of sorts, or a digital, maybe it's like a digital gamer business card, where you can list, you know, all of your social sites you want. You can list your PSN ID, your Xbox gamer tag, Steam ID, your Switch friend code, whatever. And, you know, it's all up to you whether you want to list it or not, but there's no direct interaction, but you can follow other members that have, you know, similar interests to you. So if we're selling something like Guilty Gear, for instance, the Guilty Gear 20th Anniversary Pack, you know, that's got online, it's a fighting game, it has online matchmaking. Maybe, you know, you see somebody else who bought it, and it's like, all right, cool, when we get our games, this is somebody I might be able to matchmake with. They have their friend, you know, Switch friend code, I'll add them. So that's kind of the thinking behind that. But we wanted something a little more robust to bring that full circle than just all these other digital to physical publishers that were popping up. And we're still going. We've got some, a couple new products that we'll be listing soon. We have, I think, three titles on the site right now. Slay Away Camp, Butcher's Cut, Guilty Gear 20th Anniversary Pack, as well as a awesome shmup, which everyone should check out, called Rolling Gunner. It is probably one of the best shmups I've played to date, especially on the Switch, too. Sorry, not on Xbox.
Yeah.
rude.
Yeah.
maybe someday. We'll see.
Tim, what were you saying about Rolling Gunner? I thought I heard you.
No, I was just, I'm familiar with it. It's on my wish list. But I've not got, I don't, well, wait, you know, did I?
Talk to you about a code.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I love the look of your deluxe editions. I am an absolute whore for anything with a steelbook. So the fact that you guys have Switch games with steelbooks is really, really, really interesting to me. Guilty Gear looks really good. Rolling Gunner looks really good. Yeah, I love steelbooks. So is this site for me?
If you like steelbooks, then yeah, definitely. All of our deluxe editions do come with steelbooks.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's catnip for Joe here. Like, my God. Didn't you pay like $40 for a steelbook earlier this year? $30? You thought the game was in it, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. Outer Worlds.
And you're like, oh, that sucked. But yeah. I got the steelbook, so.
That's a nice looking steelbook. I think it's a custom made one. I also paid, I think, $35 for a steelbook at MAGFest. And that was the steelbook for Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, that looks like a Game Boy. Not A Link to the Past, Link's Awakening. It looks like a Game Boy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Was that the official one? Like, didn't they make one like that for Europe or something?
Yep.
Yeah. See, yeah. Europe always gets the cool, or Nintendo always does the cool stuff in Europe.
Yeah, they don't do it for us in America, and that's why you guys are doing stuff in America.
Like the Samus Returns, I think they had a steelbook too or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get that.
Oh, you don't have that one, do you, Joe?
No.
Yeah. I can tell.
Shut up.
There is a steelbook I really want for an Xbox game that I did thoroughly enjoy, Strange Brigade.
I didn't know there was a steelbook for that one.
Yeah, it was in a limited deluxe edition or something, but yeah, I cannot find that damn thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at my shelf. I do not have it. I had to double check just in case. Oh, man. So what else is Physicality up to? You said that you have some new stuff in the works. Anything that you're able to talk about?
God, I wish. Yeah, we will have some new apparel items. I can't say that. We will have some new apparel items very soon. And we did just add, hint, hint, an import games tab, which you'll notice at the top of the site if you visit. It is empty currently, but we will be adding games there.
Weird. Why is this here with nothing listed?
Yeah. Yeah, it literally just got added. I didn't even know it was added yet. I didn't realize it was live, but lo and behold, it's live. So we will be adding games there, bringing in some import games, and adding a couple new apparel items as well.
How are the import items going to work? Are those things that you're just going to buy in bulk? Or?
We will find out. Nice try. They'll be ready to order. I mean, like right now, we kind of, the way our Physicality games, exclusive games, are sold, it's like once we reach a certain number or threshold, we put them into manufacture. The import games are, you know, add them to your cart, buy it, it'll ship out to you in a few days.
That's cool.
Same goes with apparel, soundtracks, whatever. All that stuff will ship immediately.
Nice. I see some of the tins available on the others section, the soundtracks and more section. I have to pick up a collector's tin.
So if you bought a standard edition game, it's, you know, just the Amray case in the game. And we kind of fought pretty hard to get these approved by not only ESRB, but by first party, meaning Nintendo. To get these approved, because I mean, have you ever seen a tin with a window like that?
No.
Yeah, so I mean, most games, limited edition games, are, you know, just what, in a cardboard box. So we wanted something a little bit different that you could like display or not display. So all of our deluxe editions come in tins with windows, and then all your goodies are put behind there. So you'll have the game up in the window, or if you wanted to display the steelbook in the window, you could do that, whatever. And then the standard editions, you can buy it with a tin or without a tin.
Oh, I'm going to go pour on your site.
Cool. All right. So when are you getting Scott Pilgrim? Come on. I heard you. Let's go. Let's just break it wide open. I don't just undercut limited run games. Fuck those guys. Let's get Scott Pilgrim. Everyone's bugged them about it. Just pull the rug right out under them.
We have talked about that game, too.
Of course, everybody has.
I did see that it was just, I guess, announced or it's coming back or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, they are re-releasing it, and only a digital release is announced for now.
Yeah, I heard the woes and cries of many, like Alderaan just exploded.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a big one that has been lost to time for a few years. And yeah, if someone gets that physical deal, like that thing is going to sell
it will.
Very well, I would imagine.
I have zero doubts about that.
Yeah.
So physicality is going to be signing it, right?
Yeah. Okay. We're breaking.
What's happening?
It. Yeah. He
breaking news.
Right here, right now.
We could feel it. We could feel the Skype energy.
We broke the news earlier today that Paugi is coming to Xbox One from Lightwood Games, and now we're breaking the news that Scott Pilgrim physical edition.
Maybe, probably. I'm sure. Whatever. You know.
Doesn't exist, probably will never exist.
As confirmed as the PC edition of Demon Souls, right?
Yes, yes.
Get that retraction out there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that soon.
Yeah.
Was that a PS5 announcement?
Yes, it was. That mistakenly had a as well as PC thing attached to the end of it.
I missed that.
Someone put the wrong slate on the back end of the trailer, so Sony took it down. Everybody else still had it up with the same slate in there, so good luck controlling that message, Sony.
Yeah,
it said available on PC and then timed exclusive for console.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, Demon Souls is coming to Xbox, it's guaranteed, it's confirmed, it's definitely happening. I'm like, dude, it's a first party remake, it's never happening.
Yeah. Sony had to come running out with like freaking just looking all crazy here. No, that's not, no, put it back in the box. No, you shouldn't have said that.
Oh my Lord. So what is Mastiff working on? What else is going on there?
Nothing that I can talk about right now. Right.
None of a bitch.
Scott Pilgrim 2.
Yep. Damn. right now, really, the focus is on bringing some new content to physicality. I know a lot of our customers have been super patient with us. It's we probably had the worst launch timing for any company, brick and mortar or digital.
Was it in 2020?
Yeah, the site launched like right when the shit hit the fan. It like launched at the end of March, and it was just a horrible time to launch.
Oh,
damn.
Yeah, it was not very good. But I mean, we had been working on this thing for 15 months straight. I mean, like just face to the grindstone working. It was initially supposed to launch in November of last year. But we wanted to make some more tweaks and work on the website just a little bit more. And that pushed us out to March. And we kind of came out with our that was kind of our soft launch in March. We took a lot of the feedback, customer feedback, integrated that into the site and kind of went live toward the end of May, when we kind of really went with our grand opening. So thankfully, you know, we learned from the soft launch and came out a little bit stronger and smarter from, a lot of awesome user feedback. But in terms of Mastiff, I mean, outside of Fight Crab right now, we do have, couple other titles that we are looking at. I can't mention anything other than that.
Fight Crab on Xbox, maybe?
if Fight Crab, you know, kicks some ass and busts some shell on Switch, I mean, who knows? I would love to see Fight Crab on PS4 and Xbox.
Yeah, I would love to see that too. That would, I think it would, with crossplay on all platforms, that would be incredible.
I would not be opposed to that.
Launch it to Game Pass.
Oh my God.
But first we'll work on the Stadia release.
Oh my God.
The most
we can't have
console.
This guy back anymore. This is, we're done here.
physical Fight Crab?
Physical Fight Crab. We actually did release a Japanese version. So Japan office, we published the physical version in Japan. And that
play Asia.
Yeah, and so that has a full English language support too.
Oh, cool. Oh, nice.
And so it just so like, happens you have an import section on your site. I wonder if that lines up at all. I'm sleuthing it tonight.
He didn't realize that. No, that's a good tip for you there.
It's a good guess.
good tip. So maybe you should do that. It might be an opportunity for you.
Yeah, that's a good guess and a great idea. I like it. You're so smart.
I try. Don't lie, worst. Though.
I mean, you can call him smart, but I don't know about that.
You can call me a lot of things.
Yeah. I do like that, kaiju-looking cover art. It kind of struck me, like, when we were in mid-review this week, I'm like, wait, those crabs are huge. Like, they're ripping up trees. Like, wait, this isn't normal. This, like, what's going on?
Well, they're crabs fighting to the death. I don't think that it was going to be normal anyways.
That was the moment that it hit me. It wasn't, like, the crabs fighting to the death. It wasn't the weapons. It was like, oh, wait, they're large.
That's a car.
Wow.
Wait, have you seen the live-action trailers?
Wait,
there's
what?
Live action trailers.
Oh my god, I gotta show you the live action trailers.
Oh my god, you gotta show us the live action trailer.
I'm trying to type as loud as possible for effect.
I'll drop one into a chat there.
There we go. There we go.
We will have to throw a link to that in the show notes. So if you are listening to this on YouTube, check down in the show notes and you'll see a link. Click it and enjoy. I can't watch until after the show, though.
Yeah. There's two currently. There's another on the way.
Oh, God. What is going on?
You thought it couldn't get crazier.
That is fantastic.
Live reaction.
Yeah.
Hey, I like it.
I jumped straight to the second one for whatever reason and saw something that was reminiscent of Independence Day, except with a giant crab involved.
Ah, there it is. Yep, got it.
Oop.
Sounds as ridiculous as the game.
It very much is. We're supposed to put out the third one. I think the third one will be coming a week from tomorrow or the week after next. I have not seen it, but I am just drooling with anticipation. our team in Japan, he's got a couple. He's basically like my counterpart at our Japan office. He's got a bunch of friends who do like this type of video editing, and they are just turning out some really cool stuff. And it's just awesome to see these little live action videos.
What do you think, Tim? How are the videos?
Oh, it's great. It's ridiculous.
Do they live up to the game?
Yeah. They're going to whet the appetite for fighting crabs.
We are now reviewing commercials on this show.
And then I'm watching like the rest of it, and I'm like, man, there is more stuff I need to unlock in this game. I got time before people are coming over, at least, but yeah, it's like I don't have that yet. Yeah, I gotta get back to work in the crab pit.
The crab
pit. What is that? 48 weapons?
Yeah. I don't have that many. Got quite a few, but
What are the most ridiculous weapons in the game?
Oh, Jesus. You can ride a scooter, like a little vessel.
Yes, yep, I mentioned that.
I mean, you can ride a scooter and a seal, so that opens it up to jousting matches.
I think the way the rockets work, which you get pretty early on, is pretty ridiculous.
Yes,
and you just like, go, yeah.
I equate that to rowing a boat with one paddle on the same side if you only have one jet engine. Because you will go in a circle.
Yeah.
If you have two jet engines, then, you know, it's like rowing a boat with two paddles. So, definitely, you can use one rocket with one claw, or one rocket equipped, or jet engine equipped. I wouldn't hold it down, because then, yeah, you'll just spin in circles and probably fly out of the stage.
You know, like next year Evo, when this is on the main stage and closing out the weekend, like there's going to be somebody, some Korean player who has like mastered this one claw rocket play that is just like absolutely insane.
Only hope, but the
Justin Wong will do it.
The beam saber, the dual beam saber, is kind of awesome. It's like a Darth Maul style.
Yes, yes.
Quote unquote lightsaber. Yes. But the dual sabers, beam sabers, pretty cool. I need to freaking learn how to use the boomerang better. A crab with a boomerang is nutty there in itself. But there's so many.
And then what are some of the craziest unlockable characters in the game? Because there's some crazy characters in this.
Okay, I'll reveal one. The mantis shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a crab, but the mantis shrimp. Is one of the hidden bosses, and it is bonkers. Especially a mantis shrimp with chainsaw is nuts.
Yeah, put people against the thing that can, you know, boil water when it punches stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. The sentences that come out of people's mouths when you talk about video games. It's like the mantis shrimp with chainsaws.
But there's so many, like, the... I mean, there's also crabs that people didn't realize they know that are in here, like coconut crab or just like your regular Dungeness crab. So there's some common, quote unquote, common crabs, but there's, you know, all these sorts of crazy other crabs that I didn't even know existed. Like the Calappa, which is probably the cutest crab I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, that's, isn't that what the studio name originally was?
The name of the developer, Calappa. But it's actually, as far as crabs go, it's pretty adorable.
I have not seen what that looks like. I will have to look that up.
Well, now you have a thumbnail for your video.
We got to find a ridiculous picture for this video. We need to find something that lives up to Fight Crab for the ridiculousness for this episode.
That's a tall order.
Carnage is asking, a giant enemy crab. Yes, Carnage, a game of nothing but giant enemy crabs.
They're all enemy crabs.
They're all enemy crabs, even the lobsters.
You know, I will tell you another thing that's kind of crazy is if you're fighting in campaign mode and you fail a number of times, it will ask you if you need support. And that support will come in the form of an AI compadre. You get an AI companion. And if you fail again a couple times, it will ask you if you need support in the form of, you know, it'll bring in different support. One of those supports is a crab on top of an A-10 warthog. I'm not even kidding. I didn't know this existed in the game until I failed one of the harder stages. And I was just like, damn, I can't beat this level. And it's like, do you want to call in air support? And I was like, excuse me? And then at the beginning of the stage, before the game starts, you get a crab on top of an A-10 warthog will come in and just gun down the enemy.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I was just like, did that just happen? Like, what the hell?
So what you're telling me is that there's a foundation there for a crab death match. Where you could have kill streaks and have crabs on tanks.
Crab of duty.
Well, yeah, the sequel will be Flight Crab.
All right.
Yeah. I'm here for this. This just gets better and better by the second.
There we go.
So.
What'd you say, Aki?
I'm still playing the game.
Are you?
I'm enjoying the shit out of this.
I'm just spoiling all this stuff. I'm sorry.
I don't want it. Spoil away. It just makes the game slightly easier for me, and I'm fine with that. I am.
Fine. There's lots of fun to discover.
Bad at this. really, all I do is I just punch and I punch and I move forward and I punch because that's about all I'm capable of.
definitely play the tutorial stages. They will teach you some very, very key components. Like, if you play any sort of fighting game, like if you play Blaze Blue or whatever, Street Fighter, Guilty Gear, you'll notice there's probably like a break. I think it's usually if you like hold down all the shoulder buttons or something, if somebody's like grinding on you and trying to keep you in a corner, you can usually use like a break or whatever that'll, you know, push them back. That's kind of also what hyper mode does. So not only when you take a certain amount of damage in Fight Crab, hyper mode, your crab will start glowing. So you can't be knocked over when hyper mode is activated. So you have to activate hyper mode. And for 15 seconds, it's pretty much you just kind of hulk out. But at that same time, you can actually press the hyper mode button again, depending upon what you're playing on. If it's Switch, it's, you know, the select or back button. Did I even get that right? Is it called the select button anymore?
It's the minus button.
Yeah, that button.
I confuse my son doing the same thing. I'm like, hit start. I mean, plus. Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, the minus one. Yeah, so that activates hyper mode, but at the same time, during any of that 15 seconds, you can actually push it again, and it kind of emits this big burst where it just pushes enemy crabs or anything away, and will damage them too. But so there's you know, a lot of little technical components to it too. So I mean, not only is it, you know, a silly game where you can just punch the hell out of stuff and, you know, equip a knife or katana and, you know, bash over an enemy crab over the head with it, but, you know, there's technical aspects of the game too. So like I would use that hyper mode, you know, in tight situations, or again, you can fly. So fly away, drop down behind opponents, whatever.
I am learning so much for this game. I am ready to kick some crab ass later on tonight.
A little deeper than you thought?
Yes.
Yeah. It is as deep as the ocean, Joe.
That wasn't such a bad pun. I would have laughed at it.
It wasn't really a pun. It was a bad joke, but also accurate.
Yes. Yes.
I haven't seen, you know what I haven't seen yet, though? Because you can play online and you can set up, you know, timed matches. So if you set up a match for 30 seconds or a minute or whatever, what I haven't seen anybody do yet is just activate hyper mode and fly away. Like in the city stage, I haven't seen anybody activate hyper mode, fly on top of a building, and then just kind of camp. So that would just be like the ultimate troll way to win.
Oh, man.
Well, here's some bad ideas, internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit your opponent a couple times, activate hyper mode, fly away, camp on top of a building.
That's such a dick move.
Right? That's what I was thinking, but I haven't seen anybody do it yet. So
it's like that Pac-Man bullshit in, like, what was that, Smash 4? Where they just keep jumping straight up or something like that off the stage? I don't know. It's something like that. Some kind of garbage
screen. You know what? You can crawl at any time.
Yeah.
You can climb walls. So that's where I was going with this. So yeah, play the tutorial stage. It will teach you how to crawl. It will teach you how to use hyper mode. All that fun stuff.
Oh, my Lord. I love it. Well, David, I know we've been chatting for quite a while. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up?
I think we covered all the crabby goodness.
Anyone have any questions?
I do not. No, it was a delight.
This game is.
What'd you say, Aki?
How fantastic do you think this game is? On a scale of 1 to a billion.
On a scale of 1 to crab?
1 to crab.
Crab.
All right. There we go.
Cole, any questions on your end?
No, I think we pretty much covered anything I wanted to bring up.
Oh, my Lord.
You guys did a good job without me. I was just here for fun and games.
Carnage saying, aside from crabs, I'd love to see more Arcade Islands games. The first was so good.
Wow. I think you just asked about that the other day, too. Yeah. The first was good. Well, you're in a very small group, my friend.
I enjoy mini game compilations. I would love to see another one.
You know, that's the sad thing. It's like for a long time ago, I was doing the editorial thing on the side, and I was writing for a small website. And one of the games I had reviewed was, I think it was like a Penny Racer game on the Wii from Tomy. And I had a blast with it because I was reviewing it. I'm like, would a kid enjoy this? You know, and I was like, dude, I enjoy this. This is fun. And I think a lot of the time that, you know, and I'll step out of PR character and purely from a gamer or consumer perspective, is like a lot of the time the reviews I read are written like, you know, every game is catered for that person. And it's just like, no, it's just like, you know, is it a fun game? Would its target audience enjoy it? And I have to review it, you know, like that target audience. I can't say, well, you know, I'm really into serious TV dramas and stuff, and this game is a kid's game, and, you know, I just don't like, you know what I mean? Like, you're right. I mean, it's Arcade Islands, Party Planet. Those were games targeted towards kids. They weren't like, we weren't going after like the Destiny audience or the Call of Duty audience with these. It's, you know, I like for Party Planet, Joe, I'm not sure if I sent you a copy, but the review copies for Party Planet that I sent out, like I went out and bought like a gaggle of like kid toys and stuff, like little party favors and glitter. Like I packed them with like the party favors and glitter. It's like, you know, I like to do fun thematic stuff like that, and it's a kid's game at the end of the day. And, you know, I sent it out to a bunch of like parent and family friendly kind of press too, and I really got a kick out of like watching them unbox it with their kids or play with their kids and stuff. And it's like that kind of stuff makes my day when I see games like that go to its intended audience and be understood by its intended audience. On the opposite of that spectrum, Fight Crab, it's cool for everyone.
Yeah, you were saying Party Planet. I still have the blue shutter shades that you sent me.
Ah, that's right. I knew it. Yes, I did.
Yeah, I was pointing them out on stream. If you look really closely, you could see them, but it's really hard to see. But yeah, I still got them. Kept them.
I just gave away, I think I had like a bag of those little party favors still. I don't know if you're familiar with the app Nextdoor.
Like no.
Local community app. I just gave away some of like the rest of those little party favors to Mavron next door.
Oh man! Well, you got rid of him at least.
If Taon, I mean Taon was the developer for Arcade Islands for Party Planet. Who knows? I mean, maybe if they're working on Volume 2. It's been a minute since we've talked to them. Good group though. There's no reason why we haven't spoken to them. Just haven't just talked to them in a while.
Nothing's weird. Everything's fine.
Just shoot them an email. See how they're doing. See if Arcade Islands 2 is happening.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, if something happens, you know, you'll hear it from us.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, David, we are going to let you get going. Thank you so much for joining us. It is always a pleasure having you on. You're going to have to come back when the Xbox version of Fight Crab is ready to go.
Yeah.
As well as the physical Scott Pilgrim.
So you never want me back on. No, I will do my damnedest to try to get this to Fight Crab 2 other platforms, Xbox, PlayStation. We'll
Fight Crab 2? Did he say Fight Crab 2? What? Wait. Yep.
No. Fight Crab 3. Yeah, we're
skipping 2. Yeah.
Skip.
Perfect.
Jump straight to 3. Oh, man. All right. Well,
thank you all so much for having me. It was a good time, as always.
Yeah, we are going to take a quick break on the show. We're going to be back with news and reviews. Tim, don't go anywhere. Aki, don't go anywhere. Cole, don't go anywhere.
God damn it.
David, do you have any final words to end the interview?
Go buy Fight Crab.
It's cancerous, but in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want crabs like this? These are the crabs you want.
All right, I think Jacob's here. Jacob, are you here?
No.
Fuck.
Okay.
Deuces.
I just got the Excalibur. Oh, yes.
Wait, the Excalibur for what?
Fight Crab.
Oh, okay. I'm highly envious of that game.
Because you don't have an Excalibur? I'm sorry.
No, I also don't have a Switch.
Yeah.
It's on Steam.
Yeah, I don't have a computer good enough to run that.
What he's saying is he's a bitch.
A baby bag bitch at that.
I want my baby bag.
I mean, I didn't say fuck.
I want my baby bag.
That's actually...
So there I was, barbecue sauce on my titties.
There I was. Slathered in barbecue sauce.
On that note, we are back, everyone.
Chili.
We're somewhere. I don't know if it's back.
Gotta get that Chili's money.
We need that Chili's money, Tim. We gotta hit up the Dark Order and see what their secret is. Get that Chili's money here on SML.
God fucking damn it.
No one else gets these jokes. Yay. Jacob, you're here. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I mean, I just got done, you know, playing some more Kingdoms of Amalur and letting my dog out to poop before the recording.
Nice.
Did you poop before the recording?
Yeah. It's just
did
like,
I poop before the recording?
Yeah. See, that's the reason. That's the reason he's here now and not for the interview is because he was pooping
the whole time.
Yep. Oh, he just 10. Missed the whole interview. He was like, yeah, 9 o'clock, gotta take shit.
It's true. Thankfully, I can see the TV from where I'm pooping, so.
That's good.
Thank God.
His door wide open.
You have a damn good mic.
Honey, what are you
this
doing?
It's really immersive. This dungeon really smells. No, it's actually my poop.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So we have a lot of news we have to get to. A lot of news.
Something happened this week?
Yeah, something tiny happened this week. The PS5. The PS5 had an event this week. A lot of stuff was announced at the event. Let's just go through everything quick. They open up the show.
Sorry to cut out your intro, but just to preface, like, now all the cards are on the table for these fucking consoles, finally. Like, yes. Dates are out there, prices are out there.
Which, like, we will get to soon.
Yeah, we will all get to, but, like, finally, it's, you know, it's
fucking...
We've been living in the dark for months and months on these things because, you know, COVID screwed everything up, and now we got, in the span of like a week, we got it all.
All the information.
I'm a little insulted by both of them that it took this fucking long to get the information out.
You know, at the same time, though, like, Nintendo didn't announce their Switch date and pricing until less than 2 months before it came out. Or it was like about 2 months because they announced
that's
it.
That's standard for Nintendo.
It is. Nintendo, but people should be more like Nintendo.
No.
If anything, they'd be like, "Oh, hey guys, we got a new console coming out tomorrow. You might want to get in line."
I'm sorry. What was that?
Yeah, we don't want to see Sega pull something like Sega pulled at E3 all those years ago with the Saturn.
It's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or $399, eat a dick.
But, you can eat a dick far lower price.
Yes, you can.
Depends budget. On who.
In fact, I can get paid for it if I talk to the right people. We should probably get to the news now.
Yeah, we should. They open up the show trailer. Final Fantasy 16 is real. And it looks really, really cool because it looks like an actual Final Fantasy game again.
It's the first, like, real Final Fantasy announcement in, like, a long time. If you consider that Final Fantasy 15 was... originally Versus, and then 14 had its weird double launch MMO thing, and, like, remember, God, Final Fantasy 13 was first showed in, like, 2005, like, eons before it actually came out.
It has been so long.
And then, here we are, Final Fantasy 16. It's, like, a medieval setting, and I'm...
Fantasy, chocobos, I am digging what I saw.
I'm intrigued.
The sad news for a lot of us, it is a timed PS5 exclusive. From what I am told, the deal is supposedly 6 months full exclusive and 12 months console exclusive.
So it will be coming to the Xbox family of consoles.
Potentially. Nothing's confirmed.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But it's likely it'll show up on PC and Xbox in the future. And who knows? Maybe they'll pull a Dragon.
PC. They did say PC for sure.
Well, 6 months later.
Yeah.
But maybe they'll pull a Dragon Quest and just throw it right on Game Pass.
I was going to say, there's no way that Microsoft's not going to throw tons of money at them to ensure that there's going to be an Xbox release for Final Fantasy 16. That's in this day and age. Come on.
I don't even think they'll need to throw money. I mean, you want to put it out there to make money. But yeah, if it's not, like, if it's a timed exclusive, then I'm sure it will make it out on there.
Yeah.
I'm watching the trailer for it right now. I didn't know it existed, and now I need to know.
It was really weird because, like, yeah, I've been working my fucking ass off the past 3 weeks. I work at a school district.
Oh, you poor schmuck.
Yeah, and, like, so, you know, unlike normal times when I can kind of chill and, like, I check my phone during the day, and if there's a big game event, I'll just sit at my desk and kind of... I will make time at my desk to sit and watch it while I'm doing other stuff. I had no idea this was going on, so, like, later on that night, my friend is texting me, like, ranting about how Square will never do another Final Fantasy with turn-based battles. And I'm like, dude, I have no idea what the fuck you are talking about right now. I am busy all day. I'm trying to get food right now, and I forgot my wallet, and this is a disaster. I'll check it out when I get home. Fuck off. I still haven't watched everything from that event, come to think of it. Final Fantasy, that game looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does.
And,
Yeah.
I think after that sold a lot of PS5s. I think even with that limited exclusivity, I think people, I mean, Final Fantasy, I guess, has been kind of a Sony associated series since the PlayStation 1. Yeah. So some this people just saw bloody. That and they're like that. Yeah. Oh man, that kid gets fucking just
soaked in
slathered.
I don't like, know if like I've
delicious
ever
ribs from one of Chili's. What?
Everyone talked at the same time.
Okay.
Not everyone. Don't put me in the pit with the team of despair here.
Just that alone sold a lot of PS5s, but yeah.
Jacob, what did you say?
Well, which one? Are we talking about barbecue sauce and my titties again? Or, like, telling Cole, thank God, that she's not talking?
Wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there was blood in Final Fantasy Type-0, but that's the only Final Fantasy I really recall that was bloody and M-rated. But it looks like 16 might be going that direction.
Maybe.
I never played Type-0. I always wanted to play that, but I've never gotten around to it.
Got it. It was like, I don't know, $10 at some point, so yeah, it's on my show.
It's been on sale.
Yeah.
Got the collector's edition, surprise.
Big announcement, though. Big announcement. Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah. That is huge. They followed that up with Spider-Man Miles Morales. So they confirmed it will be a launch title.
And they
confirmed it will be a PS4 title. So yay. Sony, who were adamant about having generations and not having any of their launch titles be on PS4, did an about face, and now their launch titles are going to be on PS4.
Some like, of them. Well, what if we made money instead?
Yeah. Smart idea.
Apparently someone walked in there and told them, hey, y'all are fucking stupid. Put it on both systems. Mm-hmm. Make money, you dumb fucks.
Yeah. Or they just looked at, I don't know what COVID has done to their yearly revenue, and they're like, "Hey, if we put this on PS4, meow, we could hopefully cover some
more
of that.
Money." Yeah,
yeah. I mean, whatever. Tons of people have PS4s, so it's good for them that they don't have to immediately upgrade in order to enjoy Miles.
Oh yeah, I'm all for it. I just think that should have been the way they were doing it in the first fucking place. It just makes more sense.
I am irritated at the fact that when Xbox did it, everyone shit all over him, but now that Sony's doing it, everyone's praising him for it.
And I was happy that Xbox was doing it. I was like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they call them Sony ponies.
Sony ponies. And what if you buy the Ultimate Edition for $20 more, you get the PS5 upgraded version of the original Spider-Man.
Yep.
Which, nice.
We'll talk about launch titles in a little bit, but after that, they had a trailer for Hogwarts Legacy, an open world Harry Potter RPG. It's finally fucking happening.
Hey,
it's
great!
Happening
great.
Next year.
And people feel so great about Harry Potter right now. And definitely well, the person who wrote it.
They actually did announce J.K. Rowling has nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah, great. Well, she had something to do with it. Nah, I'm true. Fucking done. I was never that big of a Harry Potter fan, and I'm even more done with that shit now. And like reading all of its transphobic bullshit that's baked into it, and she's kind of gross. And there's a lot of gross subtext in those books.
I never read the books. I just watched the movies. I'm too lazy to read.
It's hard to find time to read. I've been trying to do that more in recent years. Read all them Witcher books.
Yeah, but they confirmed it 2021. Was later confirmed it's coming to PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X, Series S, and PC. It'll be on pretty much everything but the Switch.
There you go. Okay. You should have said that.
Yeah.
Got lost.
Yeah. After that was a trailer for Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. That looked friggin' crazy.
Man, I haven't seen anything from that game yet other than Ronald Reagan's face and memes related to it.
You're welcome.
Oh, you were the originator?
Oh, no. I've just been posting a ton of the memes to the SML podcast page.
Oh.
Hey, they.
No, never mind. He doesn't actually look at it. Like no one does. Else. I know. No one does.
Well, it's Facebook. No.
Yeah, the Black Ops trailer looked really good. It looked really, really scripted, though I don't know how it's actually going to play out. But I guess we'll see. PS4 players can play an alpha this weekend, the 18th through the 20th, only on PS4, only for 3 days.
Gross. So. I'm not surprised. It's what Activision does.
Yeah.
You want me to play it and tell you how it is, gross. Cole? I don't even care about it, but, you know.
I don't blame you. I don't either.
It's fine. I'll wait my fucking turn.
You're used to it.
You'll probably have to wait for, like, campaign 2 for 2 years or something.
Right. Most likely.
After that was a trailer for Resident Evil 8 Village. Still looks insane. Coming out 2021. Can't wait for this one. Going to be multi-platform. So everyone will get to enjoy that.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Well, it's like I didn't love. I didn't have Resident. Maybe.
I still haven't played.
I unfortunately did not fall in love with Resident Evil 7, so I'm like very tepid about this one. Mm-hmm. But I hope to enjoy it as someone who, I don't know, used to be strongly associated with Resident Evil for some reason.
After that, a new trailer for Deathloop, which is now confirmed for Q2 2021 for PS5 and PC. So that one got bumped down to launch for a little bit, huh?
COVID. What you gonna do?
Shocking. Next thing, cool. Cole, you lost your mind about this one. Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition.
One of the few things in this in this lineup that I gave a fuck about, because I am a hardcore Devil May Cry fan.
Yep.
And so I was like, it's one of those things, like, you knew they were going to do it because Devil May Cry, and they always do the special edition between console generations. It's not a new thing for them. So I fully expected it, but it was still cool to see it. And they've added Virgil as a playable character now. And it's like, holy fuck, that's awesome. Yeah, Virgil's an ass and I hate him, but I'm always down to have another character.
I can appreciate that because I always liked Virgil.
A lot of people do. I hate him. I just
A total piece of shit.
But but it's always cool to have another, because usually when they add new characters, it adds a lot to the game. So I'm down for it.
Yeah, a lot.
Did
of
they
people
say if it's multi-platform or no?
It is coming to PS5 and Series X. Virgil will be a separate DLC character for current gen, but all the other special edition upgrades are obviously going to be for the new consoles, and it's priced at $40.
Hold up. Is it not coming to Series S? Or is that just like...
Series X, Series S. I figured I don't need to say both of them.
I don't know. I'm just curious if there is an exception.
No, as far as I know, it's showing up on both.
They need to really find a way to pluralize them. The Xbox Series is...
Yeah, on the Series.
Yeah.
After that, a trailer for Oddworld Soulstorm. Anyone have any thoughts on this one?
I haven't gotten to watch that trailer yet. I feel like, I don't know, I've never been an Oddworld guy, so
I've never played one.
Probably.
I feel like Oddworld's time was, like, 15 years ago. I don't know.
I could see the new one taking off.
They've never really done much for me.
Stranger was really cool.
Yeah, that was about it. A trailer for Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach. I have no clue what the hell this is. It's basically a trailer, and then they showed a title, and that was it.
Yeah, not a lot of details.
I would assume that there's a breach of security.
Maybe.
Talk about things I have no fucking interest in.
Man, another VR title?
That game series has just, like, just gone clean the fuck off the rails. It was already a little wonky, but now it's just clean off the
rails. You want to know something I realized, though, is that I think Five Nights at Freddy's is going to be end up being like a horror touchstone for like a younger generation, much like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street for us.
Yeah.
But like that, like once I saw like Toys and Toys R Us, I'm like, oh, that's what this is. It's like, you know, they watch the videos on YouTube. I don't know, if they necessarily play the game, but like young kids love watching YouTubers, and Five Nights was very popular for that. So yeah, I think this generation is going to be like, yeah.
Yeah, there's that. And then like, if you go over to Walmart, they have toys for like some other one where it's like, you're this kid in the school and like, you have to avoid teachers who hate your guts and like a bully.
That's and just stuff life, like, man.
I forget. I forget what the heck it is, but like, it looks like it was made for like PS1, and they've got a ton of toys for this. And apparently it's popular with like 10-year-olds. And I'm like, what?
Sure.
We need to introduce kids to good stuff.
Like the next game.
My horse. No,
they're just going to like what they like, and that's what their thing is.
I tried moving on from Five Nights at Freddy's, and you guys just aren't letting it happen.
I tried to make a parenting happen.
Y'all are evil. Next game that they showed off, Tim, you're excited about this one. The trailer for Demon Souls.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The reason why I have to buy a fucking PS5. Yes, that is correct. That game looks quite good. It looks like it's like moving a bit faster than the original. I remember the original being a bit more plodding and methodical, and like that, the combat just kind of in what they showed like seemed a little zippier than I remember. We'll see. But man, just like the character models and the environments just look, it is a looker.
Yeah, it is a gorgeous game.
And it is a launch title.
Yeah, it is a lot bluer than I remember.
Bluer?
Yes. Everything looks really blue in the game.
Definitely.
Is it an exclusive?
Yes.
It is.
It is. It was debated at first because the trailer at the end said available on PC and then timed console exclusive, but the trailer was quickly removed by Sony because it is very clearly a first party remake that is only going to be on PS5.
Yeah, that is an actual, honest to goodness, console exclusive.
Yes.
And it is a launch game. So, okay, I'm sorry. I'm seeing a little bit of the blueness you were talking about in some of the areas, I guess.
Yeah, I just noticed I saw a side-by-side comparison. Shiz was showing it off, and everything just looked so much bluer. I like the color palette, the original, a little bit more.
It was darker, for sure.
The new game looks absolutely fantastic. And then they shifted gears, and they had to show fucking Fortnite.
Yep.
Going to be on PS5 at launch. Yay.
Fortnite. Again, a younger generation's touchstone.
Yeah. After that was a trailer for something called the PlayStation Plus Collection. It is a new benefit for PS5 gamers.
Where'd they get this idea from?
And from what we can tell, it is basically a limited Game Pass selection of PS4 games that are playable on PS5, most likely enhanced, upgraded in some form, but there's no word on how big the library is going to be. They showed off about 18 titles. Cole, you said you counted them off?
Yeah, they said 18.
I don't know if there's going to be any more.
I think
that is the size of it.
Yeah.
And what's the fucking point?
Well, the point is that if you have not owned a PlayStation, if you're one of those people, or if you didn't get a lot of these games, it's an enticement to get you in there. Yeah.
I think the other benefit is if you bought these games on disc and you're only looking to go for the all digital, you're going to have them again on the all digital. That's also true.
That's a good suggestion there.
And it's also, it's just like, you know, both of these console launches are pretty thin as far as actual next gen content. Like, arguably Demon's Souls is the only thing.
Yes.
Because that is PS5 and nothing else. Like, people are going to need something to play on them. So when you say, like, oh, you know, you can get Plus, and I'm sure it'll come packed with like a month membership or something, it's like, okay, you probably will have something among these 18 games that you have not played that you can say, like, okay, well, I'll early adopt, I'll play, you know, a couple things that are, you know, cross-gen but look better on this, and then I'll have like all these other games I can fuck around with in this little library they've given us.
I might
play The Last Guardian.
I was genuinely surprised that Horizon Zero Dawn was not included in the list.
Yeah.
Especially given that
The
sequel is coming.
Yeah.
And you would think they would want people to tie into that franchise now.
Yeah, they think it's still got money in it that they can sell physical copies, though.
Maybe. Huh. Especially with the PC release being
older
recently.
Than God of War, though.
Yeah.
Spider-Man isn't in there, but obviously they are trying to sell that actively this holiday.
And it will be this holiday because they confirm the PS5 is releasing November 12th, 2 days after the Xbox Series S.
Late to market, big mistake. They're just going to lose the lead right off the bat.
I think being so close to the series is a huge, huge mistake.
I don't think it matters.
I was originally, honestly, probably going to get both of them this holiday. Now that they're 2 days apart, we definitely can't afford both of them at the same time. So I'm my hand is forced. I'm going with the Series X.
Your hand is forced.
Yes.
See, I have to get my Series X so I can play nothing new on it.
I don't know if this is actually going to hurt them at all because Sony does have a larger base.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many of them are going to actually.
I mean, what were they
going to
do? Launch a week apart? I mean, it wasn't going to be more than a week or two. It wasn't going to be that much.
No. I think they should have launched late October. I think they should.
The original Xbox and the GameCube launched like 4 days apart.
No. I really think they should have launched late October, gotten the jump on Xbox, especially because they announced the prices. The PS5, same as the Series X, $499. And then the all-digital PS5 is only $399.
So you're cheaper getting, than I think people expected.
Yeah.
I think people were expecting only a $50 discount. And I wonder if they felt, who knows what happened with pricing in the last week. I wonder if they dropped it more than they planned to, or.
Oh, I'm sure they did. If that was
the plan all the time. Yeah, I kind of feel like, yes, you're correct.
Jacob, any thoughts on any of this? Because you've been really quiet.
Well, my thing with it is that I'm also really curious as to when Sony actually began production on the PS5, because I know Microsoft
was making July, June.
Okay, it was July, June. Because I had heard that Microsoft was making Xboxes starting back in March. Hmm. And it's just like, so Microsoft's already going to have more of a supply. Sony's limiting, you know, by not having actually started production since like June, July. And on top of it, like, it is confirmed that they're eating shit with every single console sold. It's like, it's at least $100 that they're taking a loss on.
Oh, which at I know, the minimum.
Yeah, at the minimum. And granted, I know that that's common, because I believe that the PS3 was $100 as well.
Like, everything up to, like, the PS4, I believe, was losing
money.
Yeah,
only this current gen. This is the only generation where they haven't, and they're going right back to losing money again, because that's how they're going to get consoles sold.
No.
Yeah, and it's so it's just like, I kind of question Sony's plan on this. Later start. It's coming 2 days after. I mean, now, granted, the thing that is, all pre-orders. Well, that's the thing. All pre-orders went anyway. Like,
they fucked up pre-orders so bad.
I wouldn't even say they wouldn't have fucked it up as much if they didn't have that quote that everyone pulled up of the dude from Sony being like, "Oh, we'll give you plenty of notice before the pre-orders go up." And it was like, "Oh, wait, they're going up. They're going up right now. There's Walmart. There's Target. There's GameStop. There's Best Buy. There's Amazon." Just like all in a row. It was like just a fucking frenzy last night.
Well, the problem was they weren't supposed to. They were supposed to wait until the 22nd. They weren't supposed to do it. Or not the 22nd. What the hell is today? The 17th. They weren't supposed to do it on the 16th. They were supposed to wait until the next day. But I think Walmart jumped the gun and then everyone else followed suit.
Because they're like, well, if they're selling them.
Yeah.
Though I still saw listings going up today, like bundles and more availability was happening kind of throughout the day today. Not unlike the way it was with the Switch, where that like went up for pre-order in the middle of the night, and I sat upon the toilet in the morning and pre-ordered two Switches just in case.
Did you just sleep on the toilet or something?
No, I woke up first and I walked to it. I left that part out because I thought it was assumed, but that's my bad.
We can assume nothing on this show.
That's true.
No, not when it comes to toilets any damn way. Oh, just any
of you. Not when Jacob's here.
When my alarm goes off, it scares the shit out of me.
Literally. Oh my God. All right. They ended the show. They were like, all right, we got one more thing for you. And it was just a really, Ridge Racer. No, it was a really quick teaser. Basically just a logo. God of War 2, God of War Ragnarok is in development, for 2021.
Nice, pretty soon.
That game was well loved. So
it was very good.
So I am excited to see that. I am excited to see if it actually hits 21 or if it gets delayed. I think we're going to see a lot of delays out of these games.
I was about to say, we are not getting that game in 2021. I don't care who says what. I don't care who fucking thinks what. That game is not launching next year.
Cole has spoken.
That is all there fucking is to that one. Yeah,
Tim's writing down 10:22 p.m.
Kind of my feeling is that like they may have just put that data on there just to be like, oh, people will be like, oh, God of War's next year. Yeah, I'll just get it now. Why wait? Because it'll still be $500 next year. They also, I guess, Horizon is next year. They said the new Horizon. Hmm. And is also going to be on PS4.
Yeah, they confirmed that. What else did they confirm for PS4? It was Spider-Man, Horizon. I know there was something else.
Oh, yes, there was something else. It was the Sackboy game.
Oh, all right.
Little Big Planet. Is that what it is?
Sackboy. It's called Sackboy.
Sackboy, a Big Adventure.
Legit called,
Yeah, which is one of the launch titles, confirmed launch titles. There are only a handful of them. First party from Sony. Astro's Playroom is going to be pre-installed on the PS5.
Thank you. That was the one game that my son wanted to play when we were watching that showcase from a month or so ago. So 2 months ago, I guess.
Sackboy: A Big Adventure is going to be $59.99. Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales is going to be $49.99. And then Spider-Man Ultimate Edition, Demon Souls, and Destruction All-Stars are all going to be $69.99.
Nice. Wait.
No. No.
Well, these aren't even the first games to be announced for $70, right? Like, EA had some announcements 2K. That were $70. 2K did. Yeah. Well, so 2K, like,
2K can go fuck themselves. So.
I think the wind has been blowing on raising the ceiling on game prices for a while, and now it's happening. Some game prices. Obviously, they still have Sackboy as 60, but...
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the price increase. I've been vocal about it, and I've said if Microsoft does the same thing, I'll bitch at them, too.
I am unfazed.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at old video game ads from the, like, the 90s, like, a lot of the times, games were sold for $70 then.
Oh, I remember paying 90 for Chrono Trigger.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like...
Yes, that was common. Sucked. Super Nintendo games were like cartridges. Most of the ones I purchased were $70. I paid like $85 fucking dollars for Spider-Man Venom Maximum Carnage. Like, my God, it wasn't even that good a game. Not even a maybe good game.
That's why it's okay. I only had 7 games for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's in 90s dollars. So it's like when people come out and they bitch like, oh, my God, $70, that's ridiculous. It's like I think about how much games cost with the size of the teams and like what $70 means now versus the 90s. And I'm like, whatever. Like, some games can be $70. I don't really. Between I mean, I'm not Mr. Fucking Scrooge McDuck over here, but, you know.
And I mean, with that, like, also like, consider how much like first generation CD-ROM games for PC, how much those damn things used to cost. Those were like $100 easy. Plus, mm-hmm. you had like stuff like Wing Commander, which was like, oh, hey, next game, you're going to need this thing called a video card. You should get one.
Yeah, any Sega nerd from that era will tell you about buying Phantasy Star 2 for like $100. So. That is very common that games used to be way more expensive, and it just blown my mind. Like when I play something like Final Fantasy VII Remake, that I'm like, how was this only $60? Like the amount of people, the amount of work that went into this game, like you, blah. But it looks like they're using the console generational jump to slide them prices up.
Yeah, we'll see if it sticks or if they end up going back on it. I'm sure it'll stick. I'm sure this is going to be the new industry standard. We're going to have to get used to it and just deal with it. And
well, they slid 50 to 60 when it went from the early 2000s generation to 360 PS3. Those slid 50 to 60 there. Nintendo stuck to 50 at the time, but now Nintendo games are 60.
Yep.
So
I remember the time where new games eventually were just sold cheaper because no one had bought them. That doesn't happen as readily these days, I don't feel. Like, I look on Amazon and so many games are still the same price. Like, years later, unless they're having a sale, they don't seem to ever fucking drop anymore.
What games are you looking at? Because I feel like everything drops so fast
these days.
Yeah. Are you talking about Nintendo titles? Because Nintendo titles, those stay.
Yeah, they don't.
No, I'm talking like Ubisoft titles and stuff. I'm always seeing those for $60.
Yeah, you're out of your fucking
all
mind.
The time.
You are out of your, like, maybe that's the standard price for digital.
Didn't you buy Division for $3?
Yeah. I mean, I just got Watch Dogs 2 for free today. There are some, like, maybe like Rainbow Six Siege that are a little more pricey because those are ongoing live games.
I think that's still $30, though.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not like 10. It's for how old it is, or 15 or whatever. But, you know, like Japanese RPGs, a lot of those games tend to hold their price because they're more rare. But yeah, I feel like things generally drop like it is hot.
Drop it like it's hot.
Drop
it. Speaking of things that are hot, it's been a while since we mentioned this, but Game Pass is a thing.
Oh, yeah. It's been like an hour in the show.
Yeah, it's been like way too long. But a couple of games coming to Game Pass. September 17th, PC got Company of Heroes 2. September 22nd. Console and Android is going to be getting Destiny 2, Shadowkeep, and Forsaken. Halo 3 ODST will be hitting PC and Android. And then September 24th, Warhammer Vermintide 2 will hit console and Android, and Night in the Woods will hit everything.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Night in the Woods is going to hit Game Pass, because I want more people to play it.
Still got to play that game.
I will probably play that.
It is so fucking...
I own it, and I just haven't gotten to it.
One of my most favorite ever. I love it.
Halo 3 ODST is my favorite title in the whole series. So it's
the only one I haven't tried.
I really dig it. If you want to go in guns blazing, you can go guns blazing. If you want to be stealthy, you can be stealthy. You know, I also enjoyed that it wasn't about Master Chief.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
I don't like Master Chief either. Reach is my favorite.
Boy. All right. It's not all games joining Game Pass. There are a few that are leaving. Leaving on the 30th. Bad North from console and PC. Dirt Rally 2.0 from console and PC. This one's a bummer. Dishonored 2 is leaving console and PC. And then Yooka-Laylee, Westerado Double Barreled, and Panzer Dragoon Orta are all leaving console.
Oh, shit. I mean, I have Panzer Dragoon Orta on a disc, but I guess I got to try out Yooka-Laylee before it disappears.
Yeah, jump on that. You have until the end of the month. And Rocket League is also leaving Game Pass, but for a different reason, because it is going free to play September 23rd.
Yep. Burr, 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 burr.
Yeah. So free to play Rocket League.
It's so weird to see all the marketing say season one when we were on season six.
Yeah, Cole, you and I are going to have to get back into that to get me the rest of the achievements in that damn game.
Easy peasy.
My ass.
Easy peasy. I mean, if you don't suck, they're easy.
Well, I suck, and you know that. We've played together. The fuck is wrong with you?
Might also be true, but they're easy peasy.
Allegedly.
The only one that took me a long time to get was the one for an aerial goal, and it was because it took me forever to master flying. And in order for it to count as an aerial goal, you have to hit it with the underside of the car. So it doesn't matter. Like, I could fly and hit it with my nose and score, but it wouldn't count because you had to hit it with your undercarriage.
Oh, that's stupid.
So yes. Here's my question about Rocket League then. So the game that's available... No. So the game that's available like right now, if it goes free to play, is it going to get like a different set of achievements?
No.
No.
It'll keep everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those of us that had bought the game, and it's funny because I had bought it on both. Well, I didn't buy it. It was gifted to me two times. if you owned it on Steam or Xbox or whatever beforehand, you'll get some special items to like commemorate that you were an early adopter. And then, yeah.
Early, you know, because it's only been out for
early adopter. Yeah, because like, okay, so Epic Games acquired Psyonix, and so they're kind of like, the whole point is to rebrand Rocket League as being free to play under Epic, their banner, and kind of like none of the other shit happened for the last six seasons, which is why I said it's really weird, because it's like season one and it's going free to play. And we're all like, yeah, but we were almost seven seasons in here. We were doing our thing. So it is kind of, it's almost like they're trying to do like a soft relaunch of the game in addition to just being like, now it's free.
Well, I mean, it's like when DC Comics launched the new 52, because they had done a bunch of customer surveys. And people were like, oh, Detective Comics is in, like, issue 700-something. Like, does that mean I have to read 700 issues of Batman to know what the hell's going on? So they relaunch everything as, you know, issue number one to make it more consumer-friendly. And then just told all the comic nerds, don't worry, your shit's still okay.
Yeah. So that's basically what's going on here as well. And then one thing to point out, though, is that if you're on PC or if you're on PlayStation or you're on Switch... You don't have to pay for an online subscription to play Rocket League for free. It's just free. On Xbox, you still have to have gold.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that a week or two ago.
Yeah, it's still a fair thing to remind people of. Like, I don't mind. It's kind of how it just is on Xbox, and I don't care. But, you know, other people Don't be like thinking if you don't have gold that you're gonna download it and play it and be like, yeah, because you're not.
And you should have Game Pass Ultimate anyway.
You should. Really. And but it's it's cross-play and it's gonna be free on everything, which is kind of nice because the girls are like, oh, we can play it on our Switches now, and they can all actually play together. Like one can be on an Xbox, one can be on the Switch, one on the Switch Lite, and it can play. So.
You know what else you could play on a Switch? Ori and the Will of the Wisps is on the Switch. How
fucking gorgeous that collector's edition is.
Someone going crazy about a collector's edition, and it's not me.
I never lose my shit over collector's editions, and I saw this and I was like, that's the most beautiful thing I have ever laid eyes on, and I have three children.
Well, before the collector's edition, there's the fact that, you know, they just launched the game on the Switch today. Crazier, it apparently supports cross-save.
Oh!
Yeah. So if you've been playing it on Xbox, you could switch over, get your save on the Switch, and keep playing.
I wonder if the achievements will actually unlock properly. That's what I was about to say.
Do we know if it has achievements?
I'm pretty sure it's the same
list. Probably built, baked-in ones, yeah.
Because I think Minecraft Dungeon works the same way, where it has the same achievement list as... Xbox and PC, Windows 10. Okay. But yeah, I Am 8-Bit is releasing a collector's edition for Xbox, Switch, and PC that includes physical versions of both Ori titles, an art card set, sketchbook zine, a field guide, a glow-in-the-dark pin, and a stained glass art piece, all in a glow-in-the-dark box.
It's so lovely.
It's like $150, but...
It is $150, yeah.
It is both the games, and it is... Very nice looking.
I want those art books too.
Yeah, I might have to jump on this one.
Anybody's wondering what to get me for Christmas. I'm just saying, game. I realize it's hard to get your hands on a 3080 right now, so I would suffice with an Ori Collector's Edition.
I was just going to poop in a sock for you.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I mean, it's. I mean, I made it for you.
That's the quality I expect of you, to be fair.
Speaking of shit quality, Nintendo Switch Online has a couple of additions.
Come on now. Come on now.
I just hate how slow they drip feed these games. They gotta pick up the fucking pace. They have one new NES game coming, which is, fittingly, SCAT. Special Cybernetic Attack Team. Yes, that is the name of the game, SCAT.
I say this with all sincerity. I'm glad they're not just, like, picking the hottest bangers from the NES collection. I appreciate that they're just digging for weird shit that people are gonna be like, who the fuck wanted that? I'm like, nobody, but that's great. There's so many good weird NES games. You've never played it. Now play it. You've played Earthbound. Shut up. Stop complaining. It's on the queue. Go play it there. Get an emulator. Shut up.
Yeah.
If you played SCAT.
If you want a game that you've played a million times, Super Nintendo is getting Donkey Kong Country 2.
There you go. Are you happy? Yeah. Now you can stop bitching about that one. Jesus.
And then if you want the rarities.
The mentions on Nintendo posts are ridiculous.
Yeah. If you want the rarities, the Peacekeepers for Super Nintendo. What the fuck is the Peacekeepers? I never even heard of it.
It's a beat 'em up. It's not good.
No?
Oh.
I rented it at one point. It's okay. You know, but it's no Sonic Blast Man. I just wanted to say that Sonic Blast Man is okay as well. But
yeah, so you get a popular one, you get an obscure one. What else is left? An import Mario Super Picross.
Something you've never played before over here in the U.S. And they're like, yeah, the directions are in Japanese, so here, let's help you out a bit. I think that's super cool. That's what I like. I wouldn't have even asked for that. But yeah, give me those Japanese games. I'm totally down for that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one.
Does anyone really need instructions for a game like that?
No. Well, if they haven't played Picross before, but yeah. I mean, it's fairly common. It's just people were mad because Japan got a Fire Emblem game. They're like, they got a Fire Emblem game. Like, yeah, it's in Japanese, dude. Yeah. It's never been translated to English. What the fuck are you going to do with it? Shut up. Still go patch a ROM. God. Kids.
Goddamn kids. Last bit of news I have is that Rivals of Aether Definitive Edition will be releasing September 24th on Steam and Switch.
Nice.
That's awesome. Do we know if Ori is going to be included in the definitive edition on Switch?
I would assume so, especially because they just released Will of the Wisps today.
Yeah.
I would imagine Ori will be in there. Now, if they ever bring it to PlayStation, I don't know if Ori will be there. I don't know, but that's the news I have. Anyone have anything else?
Are you happy that Xbox One's getting Katamari Reroll?
Oh, yeah. They officially confirmed that for, what, November 10th?
Yeah, later this year, and PS4 getting Reroll, which is a nice little remake of the original Katamari there.
Yeah, we mentioned the Japanese release announcement a few weeks ago, and then they confirmed that it's coming here. Yeah.
I was thinking of that when we were talking about Fight Crab, just like weird games with interesting dual stick controls that are just bizarre.
I might get that Katamari game. I've never played one of those.
Oh, but you're in for
a
treat.
That's a great place to start. It's lovely. Yeah. Wish they did that for We Love Katamari, because I actually like that one a little tiny bit more, but you know, the original is also wonderful.
Yeah.
There's just a couple stages that I fucking hate because they're stupid. It's like, oh, you picked up a bottle of milk. It's a cow. Yeah. I need to go to bed, clearly.
That is the news. Anyone else have any news?
I saw up on Kotaku that Nintendo's ending production of the 3DS for Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm amazed they were still producing it.
Yeah. When was the last time I bought a 3DS game that wasn't like new? I think it was WarioWare Gold. That might have been like a couple years ago. Not sure what the most recent 3DS release might be.
And then Rupier's My Jam mentioning they did announce two new Monster Hunter games.
They did. Yeah, that was exciting for some people. In the comments on the YouTube from that in that mini direct, like, people were just talking about Rune Factory, and I'm like, all right. You know, that's fine. No, I'm glad that like people watch that and they're like, there's a game for them.
The Palamutes are awesome looking, and I cannot wait.
Oh, and a new Disgaea. They announced Disgaea 6.
Yeah.
That too.
And it's not using sprites anymore. It's got like cel-shaded polygons, so it's actually kind of a new art style.
It's Switch exclusive.
And it needed, I think it's like a timed exclusive.
But probably. I'm sure it'll show up on PlayStation definitely eventually.
A graphical shakeup.
Did we already know that Balan Wonderland was coming to the Switch?
No, I thought
that was just Xbox only.
No, I'm pretty sure we knew Balan Wonderland was on everything.
I knew it was multi-platform. Yeah. I don't know if I knew it was on Switch, but yeah, that was there.
I think that's set for March.
Yep.
Sometime.
Correct.
Also in March will be Monster Hunter Rise, March 26th, and then summer 2021 will be Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin. So those are the two Monster Hunter games coming.
And Hades is out today, the new Supergiant game. Well, it's been on early access for a couple years. But yeah, it is officially released. It is out on Switch.
Well,
it's on Switch, so it is on console.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's coming to everything, though they still never put Pyre on the Switch, which upsets me.
They haven't done shit on Xbox, so I wouldn't be shocked to see Hades full of skip Pyre Xbox.
I'm probably going to buy that pretty soon and check it out, even though I have too many fucking games to play right now. And Aegis Rim comes out next week.
Too much stuff coming. Way too much
stuff. There always is. I'm sitting here like a dope trying to finish Dragon Quest XI. All right, I'm definitely going to just go to bed now. I know you're trying to move to break or some shit.
Yeah, we got reviews to get to, so we will let you get going. You have yourself a wonderful night. And
thank you.
We'll see you next time.
All right. Catch you later.
Laters. All right. You guys ready for the reviews?
Nah.
Tough shit. First game to talk about tonight is called Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning, developed by Kaiko, originally developed by Big Huge Games, published by THQ Nordic, released September 8th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $39.99. Uncover the secrets of Amalur, from the vibrant city of Wrathir to the vast region of Dalentarth, to the grim dungeons of Brigand Hall Caverns, rescue a world torn apart by a vicious war, and control the keys to immortality as the first warrior ever to be resurrected from the grips of death. Aki, how about you start off with this one?
I love this game. And that's the most important thing that needs to be said. And anyone who disagrees with me can go suck a dick.
We need a review here.
Okay. In this, you play as your own character. You get to name them. You get to decide their race of, I think it's four different races. Two of them that are human and two that are elves, effectively. And the world is in a lot of trouble because these fairy race bastards have gone crazy with power and are trying to kill everyone. And they don't stay dead. They're cheating motherfuckers. You kill them and they come back to life later. They're assholes. So everywhere is at war and humanity is on the brink of fucking destruction. And you are suddenly brought back to life through some weird experiment, and they didn't know if it would ever work. But it did! Yay! And then everything goes to hell immediately. No. Story of the protagonist's life in a nutshell there. That's every protagonist, I think. And basically, because you've come back to life, your body has been reconstructed out of air, I guess. They don't really explain it, but they do state that the power of this well, which is really a bunch of crystals, so I don't know why they call it a well, but whatever, it creates a body from someone's soul. Usually all it does is end up with a dead body because they suck at their job. But since you're reborn, you're not attached to fate's tapestry. So you can do whatever you want, be whatever you want, because fate has nothing for you, because your fate was you died. And now you're not died anymore. Now you're alive.
Now you're not died.
Yes. So you can basically change how everything in the world works. Like, people who aren't supposed to die can still die by your hand, because you're crazy. You're a god, more or less. You're a very, very weak, weak, weak god, but a god nonetheless. And yeah, it's all about you and your story of trying to save everyone from the crazy fey fuckers named the Tuatha. And yeah, combat is pretty simple. So you get to run around, you can set traps or use magic on occasion, but really what you're going to do is you're going to hit things with swords, because you're not going to bother with any other weapon. Swords are the best.
I use daggers and a bow.
What is wrong with you?
A lot.
Swords are the best.
I've got an axe and a staff combo going.
Oh, you're all playing this so wrong.
Hey, I want to do my stealth, agile.
I like setting
build.
Things on fire.
Yeah. Not everybody needs to hit things with a sword over and over. We want to stab them repeatedly with daggers quickly in the neck.
I like to see my enemies crushed, you know, like Conan.
Crushed and burned.
And hear the lament of the women's. Anyways, so yeah, the sword is the best. Don't listen to these guys; they're delusional. You can choose between three different pathways, and you can put points into any of the three of them that you want. There's finesse, which uses dual daggers, and fey blades, which are these really big fuck off tomfos that are sharp as hell. Instead of just being blocks of wood attached to a handle, they're giant blades attached to a handle.
Yeah,
they're awesome. I will admit those are awesome. I have a tendency to rock those as my secondary weapon just because they look badass. Then you have they also work with the bow as well. Those three weapons are all in the finesse. I think they're the only ones in it, right? Since you're a finesse person.
I don't remember.
Oy vey, useless.
I'm very useless. Don't forget that. I work hard to be this useless.
Then there's the magic one, which lets you use staffs and this weird not staff thing, but it's like a cut off top of a staff. It's not really a wand. Scepter, I think is what it was called. it's stupid. You can ignore it. The staffs are better. And in that, you can summon skeletons and use like ice blasts and fire blasts and stuff like that. And then you get the might build, which is swords, hammers, other crap like that. And it makes you a tanky bastard, which is very useful. And again, you can put points into any one of them you want, or all three of them. When you put a certain amount of points into one of these three things, you get a fate card, which you can select on the fly, whichever one you want, and they give you extra perks. The ones for might give you better blocking and I think more health. The finesse ones give you the ability to get critical hits more. And magic, I think, increases how quickly your magic regenerates. And then there's lots of ones that mix different classes together or even all three of them together, which you usually get much later because it requires a lot of points.
Yeah.
For some of those. And combat's super easy. You just beat things with a stick and use magic. I mean, it's pretty basic. There's not a lot of strategy to this. You just hit things until they die. Which is, like, it sounds bad, but it is great. It you get to jump around and dodge and all that fun stuff and block if you want to destroy your shield. And you just hit shit. It's fun. It's pretty quick. And it's fun. I really enjoy it. The environments are all absolutely fucking gorgeous. The characters
This is a really nice looking remake, or not remake, but remaster. But it's really good looking. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it is stunning. And all the characters, for the most part, look pretty good. Fae girls are adorable. Maybe that's just a me thing. I don't know. And yeah, the enemies are mostly fae and wild animals. You attack a handful of humans and bad fae, but most of them are other types of fae creatures like sprites and brownies and shit like that.
No. Jacob, what are your thoughts on the game? I know you've put a lot of time into it as well.
So I had played this back when it originally came out, and then I got sidetracked with other stuff, so I never completed it.
Blasphemy.
It's the story of my life, really.
Yeah, I'm going to admit this, too. I never finished Kingdoms of Amalur because I hit max level way before I was finished playing the game.
Yeah, you can still do that.
Yeah.
But
and that like, once I hit max level, I lost a lot of desire to keep playing it because there's no progression. What are you going to do?
Well, then on top of it, like, you know, 38 studios shut down. So yeah. It was like, oh. So with this, it was kind of interesting going back into it because, like, it's been what, like 8 years since it originally came out? And so there I am, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, this is kind of familiar. And so I'd be doing these side quests, and I'm like, wow, like, the voice acting is still terrible for this. like that wolf that got turned into a human. I'm just like, this is so cringy.
That's bad.
But it's just like, you know, it's fun revisiting, you know, it's like being back in like your childhood neighborhood and like you're suddenly realizing like, oh wow, that McDonald's was really not that far away from my house. Or like, oh, my school was actually like 3 blocks away. Who knew? Not me. And so it's just like, I'm going through it and, I'm only finally starting to do some of the mainline quests because I'm running out of side quests to do because I've cleared like 30 of them. My guy's nice. At like level 12 or something like that. And I'm just bashing everyone with my hammer and my staff. But it like, so there's a lot of it that I'm just like, huh, I don't remember this. But then later on, I'm like, oh, I do remember this part. But it gets so weird because the game feels like an MMO where you're the only one on the server. And it, like, the game is just, it, like, it just drops you into the world and it's like, all right, well, have fun. Like, you know, it doesn't really give any guidance of where you're supposed to go. Like, I was telling Joe earlier, I referenced, game FAQs, for, for this, which of course were all written back in 2012. You know, as to like, well, what happens if I choose this one? What happened? Like, you know, because I want to, obviously, I'd like optimal, and I don't want to kill more people than I have to, unless it be a dick.
Yep.
Well, I
play the same way.
I can't play as a bad guy. I just don't have fun. I never have. And so with this, it's, you know, it's opening up new possibilities, because also, even though I had gotten it when it came out and I had the season pass and stuff like that, I never got around to playing any of the DLC. So after I'd done a bunch of
side quests. It never had a season pass, by the way.
I thought it did.
You just bought the DLC.
Yeah. It had an online pass.
Oh, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. An online pass.
And those
pass.
Were stupid. I'm and, glad those went away.
Yeah.
And you got, yeah, well, the online pass gave you like a free house somewhere and stuff like that. Because, all right, so that was one of the issues, because like I'm running around with like a ton of shit and I'm constantly having sell stuff out of my inventory. And I'm like, when the hell am I going to get like anywhere to put all my crap? Because, you know, this is ridiculous. And then I found out that, oh, well, I have to go to this town, kill a bunch of spiders, and because I do it, then they'll give me a house. So that was like 8 hours into the game. And like, and so, oh, okay, now I have the stash where I could just throw stuff. I'm still having inventory issues because like the game is kind of ass at like the stuff that you have on you is fine, but sorting through your stash in your house is ridiculous. Because it doesn't like, there's no way to separate weapons by like what type they are. It's just, oh, here's all your weapons, here's all your stuff.
It's actually separated by how strong they are and how much money they're worth.
Right, but that doesn't help. Like, cause
not
if
at
I,
all.
Like, because if I want to look at like, oh, well, I need to look at which of my swords I have, it's not telling me. Like, it just, as you said, it's like, oh, what's your strongest thing? So with that, going back to the whole like, you know, the game just tosses you wherever. So I'm playing the game and I'm like, so I've completed most of my side quests and I'm looking for other stuff to do. And I'm like, huh, I don't ever remember this mission about like an expedition. That sounds pretty neat. I'm going to go do that. So it turns out that, yeah, that was from the DLC. And on top of it, the game doesn't warn you at all. Like, hey, you should clear out a bunch of your shit from your inventory beforehand. because by the way, you're not going to be able to fast travel back anywhere for like, a while until you've completed
that one.
Yeah, well, until you've completed a bunch of shit in this land. And so there I am screwing myself out of all these things I could be selling back and making a ton of money on. And I'm just mad the whole entire time because, like, I mean, and I love, like, the look of the Colossi and, like, the look of the world that they inhabit and stuff like that. But I'm just, like, so fucking mad because I can't get, like, I can't sell this shit. And I'm taking huge, like, I'm getting 25% of what I should be every time I have to destroy all this crap. And it's just,
well, like, there is one key point where you fucked up big time. You didn't buy the backpacks. They all increase your inventory by 10.
I don't know where to find them. I haven't found any sellers who have them yet. Like, I
there's
know
one
that
in Camarack where you got your house.
Man, fuck this game.
I'm playing this with a fucking guide I made for the original one, so I know where everything is. I went and got my house immediately after the tutorial was done. I went and got that fucking house. That was the first thing I did, because I was like, you have no fucking inventory in this bitch. So, no, I went straight there.
No,
Aki, there was a glitch that was in the original game for infinite inventory space that you is still in the game?
Uh-huh. But it's late game. That's one of the last areas that when I said I had six areas that I wanted to get to before I reviewed this, that was area number five. It's fairly late game.
So I mean, obviously, like, glitches are still there. One of my issues is that, like, there's loot bags littering all over, like, the kingdom of stuff that I can't pick up for some reason. Like, I don't know why. Like, and I'm assuming that was an issue back in the original version, but it's annoying. I mean, let me preface this. I love this. Like, I'm having a lot of fun. I told Joe, like, you know, I'm low-key annoyed that, like, I've, you know, haven't touched my Yakuza 2 Hostess Club for a week now. you know, my women aren't making me the money I need. But it's just like, I'm having a lot of fun, and it's like, it's a niceness, you know, it's a nice nostalgia trip, going through all this kind of stuff. And the gameplay still holds up. I like all the dialogue, that they can have. I wish that there was like some sort of like guide that would fill up with more information as you talk to more people. Cause I think Fable did that. I think it did. I know Mass Effect did.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I wish that there was something like that. So it would be like a reference book that you could go like read in game, like as you talk to more people and as you go to more places, that it would just fill up with more info. I don't know. I mean, it's stuff obviously, cause I mean, THQ bought this with the intention of making the sequel eventually.
I mean, they are developing new DLC for this game. That'll be out next year.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. I mean, there are like small changes that I hope for like whenever a sequel comes out, because honestly, the whole like, you know, you have to jump off of a platform, like you have to find a platform so you can jump down somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That is annoying as hell. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand why that was a mechanic in the original game, but whatever. But I can look over all these like little small issues. Like, it's still a blast. It's worth the $40. If I hadn't gotten a review code, I would have picked this up eventually. Like, I would have been picking this up. So,
no, I did pick it up. I got the collector's edition. You fuckers got all the free keys because I just bought the thing instead. I did buy it twice because Amazon didn't ship my order in time, so I bought the game digital as well. Thank no comment, you, Cole? You're not going to comment on me buying the game twice?
Thank you.
Did you get any time in the game, Cole?
I started it up, and then I was like, holy fuck, I'm lost. And I had no idea what I was doing. David actually put quite a bit of time into it, though. Like, he was like, fuck, this is awesome. And it was funny because he was like day or so after you gave it to me, and he goes, he's like, have you seen that Kingdoms of Amalur game? What is that? It looks like I might like it. I was like, yeah, I thought as much. And he's like, when's it come out? And I was like, it doesn't matter because it's already installed. I don't know why you asked me this question.
It's a fantastic game. Oh, I love it so much.
I was surprised that it's managed to pull him away from Mafia, and he has been like dead set focused on Mafia for weeks now.
Despite having to restart it every 20 minutes.
Yeah. I've never seen anybody so dedicated to a broke ass game.
Oh man. Well, Kingdoms of Amalur, it is available now for $40. I need some verdicts. Aki, what is your verdict on this one?
Fucking buy it. Buy multiple copies. Buy as many as you fucking can. Physical, digital, collectors, all of them for everything. I don't care. Get them all. I want this place to have as much money as possible to make another one. Buy them. I demand it.
Jacob, verdict?
I mean, I'm not as enthusiastic about it as Aki, but yeah, I'm definitely going to say buy it.
I am going to agree with the buy it verdict. I think the game's fantastic. Warts and all, it does have, you know, it's a game from 2012. So it has some warts from the time that need to be smoothed out, hopefully in a sequel or hopefully. I just increase the goddamn level cap.
There's no way that we're not getting a sequel down the road.
I think they did increase level cap, actually.
Did they?
I think that was in the changes they said they made that they had increased it, but I'm not 100%
sure. Oh, I hope so. I hope that was my biggest problem with the first game. Original,
I 100% did that, and I loved every second of it, and I can't wait to do it again.
Good stuff. All right. Well, Jacob, we're going to let you get going. Do you have any final words before we move on?
I'm hitting up my hostess club in Yakuza 2 now.
Nice. All right, moving on. Next game to talk about is called Tin and Kuna, developed by Black River Studios, published by Axis Games, released September 10th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $29.99. Spin and smash through the colorful, chaotic worlds of Tin and Kuna. Explore levels filled with puzzles and peril. Cole, tell us about Tin and Kuna.
Okay, so Tin and Kuna is a 3D platformer, kind of in the same vein of like ukulele. I would even say maybe Spyro-ish in a way, but definitely more like Banjo and Kazooie and ukulele. There goes the cat across my keyboard. I just told him no. you know, definitely in that buddy platformer vein. There's a bit of a hitch to it, though. And that is that, unlike... Yeah, you cannot go that way! Unlike, say, Banjo and Kazooie or Ukulele, you don't actually have control or the option to control both of the characters. Instead, there's been corruption that took over the world because, of course, that's what all these games have. And one of the characters has been turned into a stone ball. That leaves you to take the second, smaller character, who also rolls into a ball, to navigate these landscapes, these 3D platform landscapes, while pushing around a bigger ball.
Can I just say that's where the game lost me?
It's one of those concepts that is certainly far better on paper than in practice. And I found that 3D platforming on its own, it has its own challenges. It's hard to make a good 3D platformer. I mean, look at how much Super Lucky Sail had to go through. They had to full on just re-release the game.
Yeah.
before it was good. And the same, you know, Ukulele went through a whole lot of shit with trying to be a good 3D platformer. It's a tough genre in the first place. And now you've got the concept where you're one roly-poly-ass character chasing around another roly-poly-ass character. And it makes actually navigating anything a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Of epic proportions. Now, that could be pain in the ass enough, but what is the greatest obstacle for all 3D platformers?
Camera.
The motherfucking cameras. And Tennin Kuna suffers for its camera so bad, in that a lot of times I found myself, you can rotate the camera and it's still not enough. Like, it just doesn't fucking matter, because even when you think you've rotated it, it still just decides to flip around and clip through a rock wall anyway. And you're like, okay, well, I didn't want to see where I was actually going anyhow. And there's actually achievements for getting through these levels with this jank ass camera without taking any damage.
Or speedrunning them, which I couldn't even speedrun the first level. To get Mm-mm. the medal. The first level. I was off by like 12 seconds.
I don't know who they got for those times, but that shit was not happening. And I just had to immediately accept that that was never going to fly. And I was just going to have to be content if I even beat it at all. I beat a few, but it's so frustrating to play that it was just taking all my effort and energy just to get through what I could.
No.
I think there's some really neat puzzle mechanics involved here. I really liked using one of the balls to hit switches so that, you know, different platforms would move and stuff, or putting them into a portal to open up a bridge. It was interesting. Again, on paper, it sounds good, but in practice, everything else just makes it unfeasible.
Yeah, in practice, when you're trying to speedrun a level and you have to wait for an elevator to move up and down, mm-hmm. that takes the fun out of speedrunning.
Yeah, there's just a lot of the good gets overshadowed by the bad. And you could say, well, you could play it without speedrunning, but if you're the kind of person that's a completionist and actually wants to, you know, accomplish what there is there, the challenges that are put forth by the devs, this is one of them. It's not like it's something you can go, well, I just don't have to do it, because you're going to miss out on some of the elements of the game if you don't. And that blows. I don't like that. I don't ever like when speedrunning and no death are required.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, those are the two worst things in the world. And then you put
not
it
just
in
no death, place. No damage.
No damage. And so essentially you would have to go through the entire game with no damage You could try and try and try again, but ultimately you would have to do the whole game that way at some point if you were going to complete it. That's not cool. That's, I don't understand what makes somebody go, that's a good idea ever in any game.
No.
I really wanted to enjoy this game. I like 3D platformers.
I love them. As soon as I started the game up, I thought it was beautiful, and I was running around collecting the crystals and collecting the hidden items. And then I realized that the mechanics of the game was a ball pushing a ball, and physics wise, that's not fun. It's so hard to get a ball going straight or how you want it.
And that's kind of the thing. Like, if you're trying to do the no damage or the speed runs or any of that, you're in a position where you're at the mercy of the physics, and the physics in this game are not solid enough to justify that. Because there are a lot of times where I pushed that motherfucker straight and it went where it wanted to anyway.
Yep.
And it just, you can't do anything about that except for just watch your efforts crumble in front of you. I can't be supportive of that. If you were to throw this game at me and be like, even if you brought it back and were like, oh, I worked on this or I worked on that, it still would be such a hard sell because there's so many elements that are out of your control with it.
No.
Just from the very premise and nature of it just takes so much out of your control. And yet so much of the achievements and so much of the progress in the game is dependent upon your skill. But it's not skill that gets you through. It's just dumb luck of whether or not the ball rolls off the ledge or not.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard to get behind.
No, I can't help but agree with that. It's a tough game to really get into. It was a frustrating experience overall for me. $30. What's your verdict?
I'm going to give it a deny it. And I feel bad because it is super pretty.
Yeah, it's a great looking game. I was super excited for this one. It just didn't play the way I wanted it to.
The art design is really lovely. And the level design is, for all intents and purposes, the levels are really well designed. It's just the premise as a whole is flawed.
Yeah. Oh, well, next game to talk about is called The Suicide of Rachel Foster, developed by 101 Games, published by Daedalic Entertainment, released September 9th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. Coming back to the family hotel after years, a young woman finds herself trapped with the ghosts from her past and an old cellular telephone as the only way to unveil a terrible truth. Cole, tell us about it.
Oh, you sweet summer child. Okay. Let me preface this by saying that I play a lot of dark shit, and I play a lot of games with fairly questionable themes, and I'm okay with the kind of topics. I prefer it, honestly. I like games that make you think. I like psychological horror. I like anything that's really gonna to fuck with me and make me, you know, reconsider my deeply held beliefs on something. So the concept of this game revolving around a suicide was like, okay, I can handle that. What I couldn't handle was a lot of other things. Oh my God, there's too many things to narrow it down to.
Start at the beginning.
Missed, maybe I'll bring up.
Let me start by saying I'm going to do the compliment sandwich, but I might not get to put another end on the sandwich. All right. So first things first, when I saw the screenshots and the trailers for this game, I was like, holy fuck, this could be another Layers of Fear. And that's high praise, because I goddamn love Layers of Fear, okay? that game could do no wrong in my eyes. So, high bar already. And I thought that it was doing a pretty good job of reaching that bar. I was even more impressed when I began the game. And immediately I pick up this weird ringing satellite phone, and there's another character on the line. My character and this male character are having like a witty conversation, kind of snapping back and forth at each other. And I've got dialogue options, and I'm like, this feels very Firewatch. And I liked Firewatch. I'm here. I'm okay with where this is going. But then the game starts to actually give me some backstory on the characters, And at this point, I have to kind of warn that I will probably inadvertently dip into spoiler territory.
It's so if hard you, to do.
Yeah, if the you give, if you, it's about 4 hours. So yeah, if you give a fuck and you intend to play this no matter what I'm going to say about it, dip out now. That's your warning. Because after this point, I'm just going to start talking and I don't know where it's going to go, but I know where the game's going to go. And it's, I might throw a spoiler in on accident. And I'm not going to stop myself. Fucking deal with it. Cause I had to play this game. So at this point, about partway through the game, we start learning a little more about our character, whose name is Nicole. She's returned to this hotel that her family has owned, and she's supposed to do kind of like a walkthrough of it before she sells it, right? Just sign off on it. Yeah, I don't want to deal with this. Her mother's passed away. Her father's passed away. This shit needs to go. As you are exploring this home or hotel, what used to be her family home as well, you start to learn more about an affair that happened between her father, Leonard, and the title character, Rachel Foster. Now, you couldn't see me do it, but I put affair in very snarky ass air quotes. Okay? And here's the reason why. Leonard was in his 40s. Rachel Foster was his student, and she was 16. And this game is incredibly adamant about trying to pave over the fact that this motherfucker is gross by trying to make it seem as if it is somehow like a star-crossed lovers type of situation.
Yeah, one of the worst things is he was her speech therapist.
She was
on
already
top of that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It everything hints at she was a bit slow, I guess, is the way of doing it, as well as having
my
speech impediment. And he was her teacher, her speech therapist, and then he started bopping her because he's a pedo.
He was
glad I didn't play this one.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, when I told you about this in Messenger, that's not the half of it. That's only the beginning. Because as bad as all of that is, the game is absolutely diehard adamant that it wants you to believe that this was okay somehow. And that, here's where I'm going to start just really flying in spoiler territory.
Before we go into that, to me, the game didn't feel like it was trying to say, yes, this was okay. It was more, to me at least, it felt like it was just saying, this is just what happened.
And no, because there's one part where, okay, when you look at things in the world through Nicole's eyes, mm-hmm. it's labeled the way she sees it. So like when she looks at her car, it says, my car, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so there's actually a moment where there are news articles that kind of indicate that the relationship, because everybody in this small town knew about this relationship following the girl's death, which I refuse to call a suicide at this point. But when she sees those news articles, she labels them slander.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
And then the entire point of Irving as a character is that he's basically chastising her for having left with her mother and not for, like, everything is all about how the dad was just lonely and he was in love with Rachel and that it should have been okay and they didn't deserve what happened to them. And then that's bad, but it also takes the role of basically labeling the female characters in the game in one of two lights. They're either victims or villains. Because we find out that Rachel Foster didn't kill herself. It was not a suicide. She was 9 weeks pregnant at the age of 16. And your character's mother beat the girl to death with a hockey stick and yours. Threw her body in the river.
Your hockey stick.
Your hockey stick, no less.
Right before a game, a hockey game that you were going to play in.
And threw the girl's body in the river. And so this is all framed out as if it was meant to be like, oh, well, she was just jealous of the younger, prettier girl. It's like, no.
Bump that age up a couple years and maybe that would have been a bit more appropriate. But 16, this is, I'm not liking the sound of this game.
She snapped, right? And like, why are you painting this woman as the villain? And then throughout that, you know, okay, you see all of the elements of like everybody trying to describe Leonard as, you know, a good guy who was just in love with the wrong girl kind of thing, right? And to top it off, they try to make you feel sympathetic toward him for his loss and his death in the end. It's just,
that didn't work.
Yet you never see anything from Rachel Foster's point of view. She's the titular character. Her death is the center of this, but all of the writings that you find, everything pertaining to these female characters and the trauma they've gone through, it's all from the male perspective, and there's nothing at all from the actual victim. Like, she has no voice in her own story. So you don't ever get to even hear her say, this wasn't what I wanted, you know? Or anything to that element. You have no idea what her character was other than just a punching bag.
Damn. Aki, what are your thoughts on this one?
Obviously there are some issues with the story. I like the game overall because of the storytelling. It was well put together. I didn't particularly like some parts of it, obviously, as Cole has been telling everyone about. I agree with everything she's been saying. The dad, not a good character. Irving, not a good character. Mom, iffy on good character. Like,
yeah, she should have bopped the dad too. She should have whacked him with the stick.
Yeah. If she was going to kill anybody, it should have been the dad, not the poor, you know, not the fucking victim there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can understand why they're like, the mom is bad, because, obviously, she murders some kid. That's not good. I understand the rage and anger that went through her. So, I don't necessarily see her as evil, but that was bad. But, no, all the guys in this are acting like they're the good guys, but they're all fucking horrible people. But I did like the story overall. It was decently put together. The voice acting was fantastic. I liked the options because they actually did change some of the conversations, and occasionally stuff that you said prior is brought up again. And I like the atmosphere of the hotel. It's really creepy. And at first
it
you think
it does have that layers of fear vibe.
Yeah, at first you think the place is haunted and you hear doors opening, closing, you hear skittering around, you hear bits of metal, you hear the storm that's raging on, which is why you're there. But yeah, it has the material it covers is a bit problematic with the way they handle it. But Cole's already gone through that, so.
No.
I think what bothers me the most about it is that I think it's a solid plot to consider and a narrative worth telling. They've told it in all the wrong ways, and that's what bothers me the most about it. Like, they could have really had something poignant and they squandered it because they wanted to use a girl's retainer abstracted as a butterfly for their cover art.
Honestly, I didn't realize that was the retainer until the end of the game. I was like, oh, I actually thought it was a butterfly the entire time.
But I told Joe. I was so annoyed by it.
I could tell it was a retainer, yeah.
I thought it was a butterfly. I was like, oh, that's a very weird thing. And then they show you find the retainer near the end of the game. And I was like, oh, it's the retainer in milk or something. At least let's hope it was milk.
Well, it sounds like mechanically it's not a horrible game. Subject-wise, it sounds abhorrent. $20, I need a verdict.
I'm going to roll with a deny it. And I feel bad because it is very mechanically sound game. But the story just, I'm sure there's people who are fine with it, but I can't in good conscience recommend it.
See, I'm going to go with a tentative try it on my side because I generally like the story. I didn't like how they dealt with some things, but I liked all the interaction, which is what most of the story ends up being, is your interactions with Irving. And I thought that was well written. As long as you're not getting it on the Xbox, don't get it on the Xbox. Anywhere else is fine. Because the Xbox achievements are broken as fuck. And
this is the first game to ever overheat my Xbox.
What, really?
What? It hard crashed and gave me an overheat notification.
Oh, wow.
And I have never had that happen before.
I don't know if that's the game. You might want to clean out the Xbox. Maybe some dust or Xbox something in there.
I clean out all the electronics once a month.
I've never cleaned mine out, and mine didn't do that.
Yeah, mine was just like, fuck this, I'm out.
For me, it's just the achievements don't work, and it doesn't look like they're ever going to be fixed on the Xbox, and it's the only one that has those problems, so I have a tentative to try it anywhere but Xbox, unless you don't care about achievements, and then in which case, fucking go for it.
All right, well, next game to talk about is called Okunoka Madness, developed by Caracol Games, published by Ignition Publishing, released September 8th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $14.99. Owners of the original Okunoka on Switch will get this version for free. Okunoka Madness is a platform game in which you play as Ka, a blue-colored hero who must save the world of souls from the evil hands of Oz, his deadly enemy. Cole, tell us about this one.
So this is another platformer. I'm apparently on a platformer role lately. But it's a little bit of like, you're probably supposed to speed run it. There are definitely timers and shit. And the game is very much so meant for you to, just go whole hog at it. I'm not that kind of player. I'll say it now.
This was like Meat Boy to me.
Yeah, I am not that kind of player. And so it definitely didn't feel like it was geared for me in that regard. I think there were a few times where I noticed that because I wasn't moving with the speed and momentum that I needed to be, that I would get stuck for a little longer trying to overcome obstacles. I do appreciate the art and the world. Like, it's all so weird. I couldn't tell you a damn thing about it. But it's so, so unique in like the characters that are in the world and stuff that I definitely appreciate it. I don't know what the fuck the Okunoka is. He's just a little dude that runs around and he eats the bugs at the end of the level for all I'm concerned. this is one of those where I was like, I've dove into it and I'm here and I'm playing it over and over. But as far as like any understanding of the lore or concept beyond just jump over the spiky things, I'm gone. you do unlock different abilities though that you can use in the different levels, and some of them are incredibly cool. I don't want to get into too many of them because I could get spoilery, but one of the sprites that I had would let you freeze and thaw kind of like areas of the map that look foggy. And so what you could do would be you would jump and grab onto the wall while it was frozen, but then you would have to immediately jump and unfreeze it and get on the other side of it and then freeze it again to grab hold of it on the other side to get through it. It was so incredibly difficult to master. But then once I got the hang of it, it was like second nature. And I was just like, okay, freeze, unfreeze, freeze, unfreeze, and just bebopping my way along. Despite my efforts to get a handle on the different elemental abilities, fuck, words are hard. I did still struggle getting over the goddamn spikes. Some of the levels are designed in such a way that you have to just have the utmost precision to get through them. I ain't got it. There's no wiggle room for failure. This is made a little worse during boss battles. One of the first bosses you'll come in contact with, you have the ability to do the freezing. And so there are spiky vines on each wall. And this mechanical bird-looking thing will zoom back and forth. Your goal is to basically jump up on the frozen wall, but then jump over the bird and unfreeze the wall at the right time so that the bird will run into it. That sounds so much easier. It doesn't even sound easy, and it still sounds easier than it actually is. Because, and here's the hitch, that goddamn bird can see you unfreeze the wall and will stop before it runs into it. So you have to do it when it's too close to stop. And I mean, it literally has to have its beak pressed against the ice. The time you have between actually carrying out your task and successfully carrying out your task is nil. I get that's for speedrunners and for those who have played this game to oblivion and wanted a challenge. That's a pain in the ass for a casual like me. Like, if I get rid of the thing and I'm behind the bird, he needs to just keep running and hit the goddamn spikes. That's all there is to it. That's, I don't know, a difficulty setting would have been nice there, maybe. I guess that would have been the best way to save that. But something tells me that the devs here are not the kind that are willing to make an easy mode.
Yeah, this game very much seems like one of those MassoCore hardcore platformers that like I watched the developer pointed me in the direction of, I believe his name is Hipkey, a Twitch streamer that plays this game and does it like he speed runs it with no deaths.
Oh,
and
gross.
It is impressive as fuck to watch. It is almost as beautiful to watch as the game is to watch, because this is a beautiful, pretty
it
game.
Really
like, I love the look of this game. The backgrounds are twisted and fucked up, and it is such a beautiful looking game, and to watch someone destroy it speedrunning it was awesome.
But to play it as a casual,
yeah, playing it as a casual is rough, but watching someone who knows what they're doing just dismantle the game is impressive as all hell.
Yeah, I imagine so. Just from a casual, and I don't even feel right calling myself a casual. Do we understand exactly how many fucking platformers I play in a year? Like, I don't think I can even say I'm a casual, but fuck, this was hard.
No.
And you have to really be the kind of person that goes, this is my life now.
Well, $15, is this your life?
No, I've got other shit to review. But I do think that if you are into extremely hard and challenging platformers, you're going to have a good enough time justifying by it.
Cool.
It's just you have to know if you're the audience for that or not.
Yeah. So, like I said, if you're a Meat Boy fan, I think this one is up your alley. Did number three play this one?
No, she actually didn't, but she's also not had time. They're not allowed to play on school nights right now.
Bah.
And her weekends are consumed by Pokemon.
Makes sense.
She's seven.
All right. Well, next game is called Friday the 13th Killer Puzzle, developed and published by Blue Wizard Digital, released September 18th on Xbox One for $12.99. Help legendary horror icon Jason Voorhees stalk and slay campers around 100+ puzzle levels in a hilariously off-kilter puzzle game. Jason will terrorize victims from the campgrounds of Crystal Lake to the high-rises of Manhattan, from Supermax prisons to space stations and beyond. Cole, how's this one?
Have I ever told you how much I love Slayaway Camp? That was a great game. It would be wonderful if the devs of Slayaway Camp made another game.
What else would be cool? If Slayaway Camp had a physical edition of Physicality Games.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. That's cool.
We talked about it during the interview, remember?
Oh, we did, right.
Same episode. Same episode. I know it's hard to remember, but it is the same episode. It's
been a really rough week, guys. Really rough week. Anyway, boy, those Slayaway Camp devs, they know what they're doing with them sliding block puzzles. And they didn't fuck around when it came to making Friday the 13th killer puzzle, except in a little bit of a way they kind of did. Slayaway Camp worked so well that they kind of figured, why change the formula? And literally everything about the setup for Friday the 13th resembles Slayaway Camp. Like, that's not a bad thing, necessarily. If you enjoyed it and you were like, fuck yeah, this is great, then you're going to load up Friday the 13th just like I did and be like, fuck yeah, this is great, more sliding block puzzles. One of the few changes between this and Slayaway Camp, though, is that Slayaway Camp, you unlocked like these little, I think they were little bobblehead-like things, if I remember correctly. They were some kind of collectible, I don't remember, that you got for completing the tapes. That element has been replaced, and instead you just collect different types of weapons for Jason. Which is both frustrating but incredibly amusing. Because the system for this is that it's RNG, and so you don't have any kind of way, like in Slayaway Camp you could go buy a collectible if you were missing it. And then, you know, pop whatever achievement was tied to that. There's a couple of achievements tied to the weapons in Friday the 13th that you just have to hope you get. Namely, you have to get the Golden Throne, which is literally a toilet seat that is made of gold.
Oh, God.
In addition to that, you will get duplicates. There's nothing to prevent you from getting duplicates. However, you can trade your duplicates in. It takes 3 duplicates to get a new item. The downside is you can't guarantee that you're not going to get another duplicate, which I seem to be struggling with. There's about 5 weapons that I'm missing from my collection, and I can't get them to save myself. And the funny part is that they're the lower tier bronze items, and I have all the high tier shit. And I just keep getting multiple Golden Thrones, and I'm like, no, I got that achievement already. Fuck out of here. for the actual gameplay, they are, despite all the similarities between Slayaway Camp and Friday the 13th, the puzzles are different. They are not the same solutions. Which then you just have to go, holy fuck, who is sitting there at Blue Wizard just coming up with all these sliding block puzzles? Because we're literally like pushing 1,000 different puzzles from them at this point.
Jeez.
There are, I think I counted, I think there's 13 episodes in Friday the 13th. And I forget how many's in Slayaway Camp. But it's just an insane amount of puzzles. There's, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, there's 13 episodes, and then there's 13 puzzles per episode.
Okay.
So they break down to the, where Slayaway Camp was like, drew on all the classic movies. Friday the 13th is just very much just, this is Jason Voorhees's movies. So like, your first, set of puzzles, your first set of 13 are Crystal Lake. And then later on, you got Jason in Space, and you got Return to Crystal Lake. And so they very much follow that. You can kind of follow the entire movie universe for Jason just by playing this game. It's really impressive how much detail they've put into that. It even boils down to the way that they've designed the puzzles. There are a lot of the same elements that were in Slayaway Camp. So you have like the electric fences and lights you have to turn off, and there's SWAT, things of that nature. You have to use the telephones to move them around. One of the funny things though is that, this was not in Slayaway Camp, but, disembodied Jason's mom's head will talk to you throughout the game. So she pops up and gives you your tutorial tips. And one of the best things is that there's a marathon. There was a marathon mode in Slayaway Camp as well, where basically, if you just want to watch the gruesome kills of these little voxel people by a voxel Jason, you have a bar at the bottom that slides across, and you gotta press A whenever the little icon is in the middle of the red part of the bar. And then, of course, your goal is to get as high of a kill combo as you possibly can. If you want all the achievements, you got to get to at least 30. I'm stuck at 29. I'm so mad about it. I'm up to 55 attempts at this fucking marathon, and I still can't get past 29. So close, yes, so far away.
Damn.
It's hard. I think 25 was the top that you had to get in Slayaway Camp 2, which makes it a little more insult to injury, if I'm not mistaken. But one of the fun things about that is that literally if you do fail, your mom gives you a second chance. So disembodied mom's head, blood dripping and all, will come up and be like, "It's okay, honey. You can try again." And you literally, as Jason, click, "Okay, mom."
Oh, Lord.
And it's so ridiculous. Ledge can't help but appreciate it.
Well, overall, $13 on this one. What are you thinking?
You know, in a lot of ways, I would be like, it's too similar to the last game. But the last game was so good that I just want this to be similar. And so the fact that it is doesn't bother me. It might you, but it doesn't me. And so for that, I'm like, fuck yeah. Give me more slasher puzzles. Buy it.
Cool. And if you want a collector's edition of Slayaway Camp Deluxe Edition on either the Switch or PS4, head to physicalitygames.com. It comes with a steel book, a Skullface audio keychain, a campgrounds flag, an iron-on patch, numbered certificate, and a collector's tin with a display window, all with the game. So, yeah, check that out and pick it up.
That's so good.
Yeah. All right, next game is called Journey of the Broken Circle, developed by Lovable Hat Cult, published by Nakana.io, released September 18th on Switch for $8, a fun and vibrant trip about life, love, fulfillment, and existentialism where new powers come from new relationships. Our friend Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. Hello again, SML friends and fam, it's Serlina once again, and this time I'm reviewing Journey of the Broken Circle on the Nintendo Switch, developed by Lovable Hat Cut. Hat Cult, and published by Nakana.io, Journey of the Broken Circle is a story game with heavy platforming elements where you play as a little circle who finds that it's lonely because it's missing a piece of itself. It decides to set out on a journey to find its missing piece and explore the world it lives in. Let's get to the review. SML Podcast, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to give this my opinion, buy it, try it, or deny it first. Buy this game. Buy this game as soon as it comes out. This is the best game I've played so far this year. I don't say that lightly at all. It's a disservice to you to not own and play this game. Lovable Hat Cult has created a masterpiece, not just in indie gaming, but in gaming, period. Everything about this is, dare I say, perfect. That's it. That's the review. Okay, if I gotta go on, I will. You play as a circle missing a piece of, or missing a pie-sliced portion of itself. Realizing this, you're lonely, so you set out into your world to see the sights and find that piece of yourself. As the circle, you can roll and jump, and that's cool. You can also collect tasty mushrooms, which are scattered and sort of hidden in each of the levels. Collect enough mushrooms, and you can unlock bonus levels. Throughout the game, you'll meet creatures that the circle can talk to, and you'll also meet other souls in the game who are looking for something missing in their lives as well. I won't spoil the game as to who or what these beings are, but I will tell you that when you find one, you get enhanced abilities, which was pretty awesome. But don't let this game fool you. It's a platformer, sure, but the story is so much more. I was easily able to see what the game was really about, and I want to tell you about it. I want to talk to you about it, but I can't because it's a major spoiler. I will say as the story unfolds, you will see your own life in a completely different vein. Let's talk about atmosphere. Broken Circle's environment is gorgeous. It's more muted colors, which I like a lot, but the levels are incredibly detailed. The world pops, but you don't lose yourself or the circle in them. I appreciate that so much. Also, how the levels work with different beings that you meet is so well thought of. There's music as well, but it's light, so it's more of an afterthought. You really have to pay attention to understand what's being played, and it's thoroughly in tune with the game. The melody fits every level, every mood, and you don't even realize it. Finally, I'll talk about the gameplay. Super simple to control the circle, even with the enhanced abilities. The game will throw some pretty awesome and awful obstacles at you. These obstacles will really hammer in the theme of the game. I can't tell what they are without spoiling the game, but I'll say that once you've hit them, you'll be kind of angry at all the parties involved, but I think you're supposed to be. Journey of the Broken Circle is available Friday, September 18th on the Switch for a cool $8 even. Seriously, go buy this. Doesn't matter who plays it, as it's for everyone. I imagine some of the themes might go above a kid's head, but I guarantee they'll get some of it. I've never said this on the podcast before, but please support this game and its developers. After this one, they deserve it and so much more. Sounds good. Sounds really fucking good.
Yeah, it does. She was very excited about it.
Yeah, I've never seen her that excited about a game. Hopefully that comes to some more platforms. It sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, final game to talk about tonight is called Active Neurons 2, developed by USANIC, published by Sometimes You, released September 16th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $4.99. Active Neurons 2 is a game that trains the player in spatial logical thinking. Your main task in the game is to collect enough energy to discover the 12 greatest inventions of mankind. I'm going to assume one of those is the podcast microphone. Cole, tell us.
Sure, we'll pretend like one of them somehow led to the podcast microphone.
Cool.
Seeing as electricity was one of them, we'll roll with it.
See, I nailed it. I nailed it.
I'm so proud of you. So, Active Neurons 2 is the sequel to Active Neurons. I bet you didn't see that shit coming.
What? Hockey, did you see that coming?
Nah, I thought it was about farts. So
I thought she hung up on us.
I didn't know. I'm just really quiet because I don't want to interrupt people.
She's playing Amalur.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I'm playing Adam's Venture. But
anime titties.
Sadly, there isn't any in this game.
Yeah, no anime titties in Adam's Venture.
Okay. But I will go back to Code Vein before too long. It's fine.
anyway, Active Neurons.
Active Neurons does not have anime titties. What it does have is little blocks that glow, and they move around on sliding. Oh, fuck. It's another sliding block puzzle.
Those are so good. I like sliding block
puzzles. Why did I take so long to just put that together in my head that I've played multiple sliding block puzzles this week? Here I was thinking about all the platformers I'd played. And so, yeah, it's a basically direct sequel. Nothing has really changed between Active Neurons 1 and 2, and that's perfectly fine. I didn't bitch about it in Slayaway Camp, and I'm not going to bitch about it here. Because the first game was fine. It did what it wanted to do. It was a puzzle. It was challenging. It wasn't so challenging that you couldn't have fun with it, though. And it just... Even though it's a simple concept, it gives you enough variety in how to play it that it keeps you coming back to it. I say that it gives you variety because even though it's simple as just get the glowing square to the glowing portal, the options that it puts in between, the obstacles it puts in between is kind of where it matters. Eventually, you're not just going straight for the portal with the square. You're not just trying to bump off of things so that you're in lined up properly. Eventually, you're dealt with enemies that glow red. And if you hit those, poof, you're dead. But you can knock a block into them and blow them up and then carry on. The puzzles have really good pacing. They don't go from, oh, this was easy to, oh my God, why is this so hard? Immediately, it's very well paced out. It's very planned out. I had a really good time with it. I'd like to sit here and give this like a big 40-minute review like I do other games, but I kind of can't.
I wouldn't like that. We don't have that much time.
Like, because I feel like when I'm short with it that I'm not giving the game enough credit for what it is, but it's such a simple concept. There's kind of not a lot there. You can kind of gather everything about Active Neurons just from looking at a screenshot.
Yeah, not every game needs a super crazy 10-minute long in-depth review. Sometimes you just need 3 minutes to say what a game is, say it's worth buying, and buy it.
So my 3-minute review is it's well-paced, it's a puzzler, it's sliding block, it's a lot of fun, it's very minimal, but hey, that's not a bad thing, and you should buy it.
Cool. So $5 officially, buy it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. That is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Thanks to David Bruno for being here from Mastiff. Go check out Fight Crab. Thanks to Tim for being here. Thanks to Jacob for being here. Aki, thank you for being here. Cole, thank you for being here. Me, thank me for being here because I'm the best fucking thing about this show. So.
I exist. Sure, we'll roll
with it. Yeah, we'll roll with that. I don't know. Let's just end this goddamn show. Does anyone have any final words?
Anime titties.
We'll be right back.